ജയം ശുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര സരസ്വതി ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവിദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര സരസ്വതി ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്കി മധുരപുരി ധാമക്കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമക്കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമക്കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ ശ്രീപദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാണി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധരവവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി ജായതേ കുരുഷ്വദേവേഷ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമഭേദകൃത്യം വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകുണിദാദ്രദാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേർ മധുരീം ന കണികാവി കാവി കാവി നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനീം സ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാരി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരികതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാ സമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാംബുരദോ മമ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അമ്പത്വാമനുവശ്യാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ലാലവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രവീപാം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ സ്തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദേഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ഉപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം അഭവത് സുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാമൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല വിശ്വധാമ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈ ഖലു നദീ വിവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം സജ്ജനഷൽപ്പൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുത നന്ദി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർവേദൈർ സംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാംഗം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ബ്രഹ്മഭൂത പ്രസന്നാത്മാ നശോചതി നകാംക്ഷതി സമസർവേഷു ഭൂതേഷു മദ്ഭക്തിം ലഭതേ പരാം കൃഷ്ണ വി ഡിസ്കസ് ദിസ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് വൺ ഹൂ ഹാസ് റീച്ച് ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഓഫ് ബ്രഹ്മം റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഈവൺ certain changes happens to him, which means that brahma prapti prasannaatmaka labdham adhyalpa prasado na shochati kinchit artha vaigalyam aalpano vaigunyam cha uddishya na shochati na sandapyate na kaankshati. That is that Krishna is saying here that even in his goal of the self realization, even if there is some shortcomings there, this person who has come to the Brahmabhutam stage, what we discussed yesterday, Brahmabhuyaya Kalpade, that person will not feel any distress. Because reason for that is, Brahmabhutasya ayam subhavaha anyudde na shochati na kaankshati iti. The reason why you remember this piece, na shochati na kaankshati, that means no hankering, no lamentation, or no regret about what happened in the past, and no expectations about the future. Why this state? Because to show to us, if you become Brahmam, or Brahmam realization happens to a person, this will be the nature of that person. It is for that purpose it was spoken like that. Nashojati nagaankshari. That means if one become Brahmam, or one become realizes Brahmam, Brahmam realization happens to him, his nature will be like that. That he will have no, he will not lament about something what has happened in the past, regret about something what has happened in the past, or rejoice about something what happened in the past. Nor he will think about the future and have any expectations about the future, anxiety about the future. These things goes away from him. Just to show to us that Brahman, there will be no movement inside of the mind. Mind will not be functioning there anymore. There is no mind functioning at that time. Because nahi aprapta vishayagamsha brahma vidya upavadyade na krishyadi idiva padha. Krishna is saying there that Brahmajnani, or one who has realized Brahman, that he will not have any more desire to achieve anything, or to acquire anything, or to become something. And he does not want to know anything anymore. All these are full, complete fulfillment happens to him at that stage. Samasarveshu bhudeshu almaubamyena sarvabhudeshu sukham dukham va samam eva pashyati ityartha. Na almadarshanam iha tasya vakshyamanatvat bhaktyamam abhijanati iti. All that equality of vision in all living entities, feeling equal vision, that means samatvam, the equality, Krishna is saying, the reason for that is, all the happiness and distress which is experienced by others, and he sees them as that equivalent to his own happiness and distress. Therefore, that is why he is not feeling the happiness and distress of others. In that sense, that Krishna is saying here, that samatvam, equality comes to him in this way. That normally in our bodily identity, in the bodily state, or when we are identifying with the body, we notice the experience and distress of others, happiness and distress of others in the another body. But when one is realized Brahman, in that state, not only that he will experience others' distresses and happiness as his own distress and happiness, because the realization of Brahman, that oneness in everyone's presence, the becoming one with the supreme consciousness, that what happens to him. Ihatasya vakshyamanatvat bhaktyamam abhijanadi. Not otherwise. Not that he is seeing, not only that Alma, his happiness and distress is experienced by him becoming Brahman. So, evam bhukto jnana nishtam albhaktim mai parameshara bhaktim bhajanam param uttamam jnana lakshanam chaturthi labhate chaturvida bhajande imam iti uktam. Means that previous verse, which is in the 7th chapter, 16th verse, chaturvida bhajande imam jana sukriti arjuna artho jinyasu arthati jnani cha bharadarshava. In there, that chaturthi bhakti, that's what it's called, chaturthi, four bhakti. Artha jinyasu arthati jnani. Out of that, jnana bhakti is the one which leads to this Brahman realization. Jnana bhakti leads to Brahman realization. So, yesterday when we discussed this, mentioned about few things that Krishna is saying here, that when this realization, Brahman realization comes, which is very much same as Krishna spoke in the 3rd chapter. Yes, to alparidirevasya, alpadruptaschamanava, alpanyeva sandushta, tasya karyamna vidyade. That stage has come to him. All the vasanas have gone away from inside. And therefore, he is saying there that he has started enjoying in the vastu. Remember that word vastu. In the Bhagavatam you will see, Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam. So the Vastu started working now inside. Andaryami started revealing to you the bliss nature, blissful nature of the soul. So that's what is being experienced at that stage. And therefore, he has got Chigirsha Nivritti, Jitnyasa Nivritti, Prayapsa Nivritti, Jihasa Nivritti. Sadashiva Brahmendra mentions these things. So that means he has realized there is nothing to renounce anymore in this world. And then he has also realized that there is nothing anymore to achieve in this world, and there is nothing to become in this world, and there's nothing more to be known in this world. All this fulfillment has happened to him. That is why it is said like that. Chigirsha nivritti, jijnyasa nivritti, prayapsa nivritti, jihasa nivritti. All these are part of the jnani's process. Part of the jnani's process. Afterwards we mentioned about finally Krishna saying there that the out of this satyachita anandam, Sachidananda Swarupam, which is our identity, Anandam is that bliss. And that is what is experienced in that unrealized state, which is called the Parabhakti stage. Chitshakti is the knowledge, Jnananishtha. And Sat is the eternity of the soul. So, one thing, he realizes also that this thing called matter in reality doesn't exist. Matter is nothing but the consciousness in one of its lower forms is called matter. In its lower forms is called matter. So, after saying this, Krishna spoke about the next verse that when he starts seeing that this Antaryami which has revealed this Parabhakti to him, what that Parabhakti means, when it reveals that special force, what is called Priyam, or Bhakti, or Rati, whatever way we call it. In the Bhagavad Gita, that word Rati is used. Alpmanyeva. Then, in the last verse, you can see that, yes, so Alpa Rati Revasya. Rati is the word used there. Uddhava also uses the word Rati. Uddhava also uses the word Rati. Namastestu Mahayogin. Prabhannam anishadimam yadhattva charanam bhoje radisyal anabhayini. That is rati. That is that parabhakti. So, bhakti, rati, anandam are all different words, but in essence it's one and the same thing. One and the same thing. So here what will happen to that devotee who has, that yani, who has realized that at this stage, he sees that Antaryami who he has been, Antaryami who has released this Priyam for him from inside, and that Antaryami is non-different from Krishna, non-different from Krishna. When that realization comes, he realizes that is that point when Krishna says, he enters into me, in the next verse, what we read yesterday. In the Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvada Tatomam Tattvado Jnatva Vishade Tadanandaram. Tatomam Tattvado Jnatva Vishade Tadanandaram. Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvada Tatomam Tattvado Jnatva Vishade Tadanandaram. What is the speciality of this bhakti? That is what is discussed in that verse. That is what is discussed in the verse. Because Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi, Krishna is saying here, this bhakti that has come from this realization, he knows me properly, Krishna says, first thing. Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi, he knows me properly. In other words, what Krishna is saying to us is that knowing Krishna is a difficult thing. It's not so easy. We have some conception about Krishna, that we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see Krishna in the temple in the deity form. But to know Krishna properly, it is not so easy. No, that is why Krishna is saying here, Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi, only with that Parabhakti state, you will know me properly, who I am. Know me properly. How do you know that? Because of the Samadhi Prajna. It is not the conditioned mind. It is with the samadhi state that prajna of that person is such, with that samadhi prajna, he knows me. Because he experiences me at that time. It's not knowing, does not mean that, just like we meet people, we shake hands and I know him, we say. That's not how we know Krishna. You don't know Krishna like that. You can never meet Krishna and shake hands with him and tell him, oh, I'm glad to meet you. Nice to meet you. That's not the way to know Krishna. Here, Krishna is saying, Vaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yashchasmi tatvadam. See that word used there, tatvada. Tatvada it is. Yavan yashchasmi tatvada. You will understand me the way who I am then. Now you do not know, Krishna says. We say we think we know, but Krishna says you don't know me. You don't know me. You will know me when you come to this parabhakti state, not before than that. Only then you will know me. So why? Because through that samadhi state, because Brahman realization is samadhi state, at that time that prajna inside, consciousness inside, you will experience inside what Krishna is, what Krishna means. Because bhakti is not a knowledge, it is an experience, isn't it? It's an experience inside. And when you experience the, or when you realize what the soul is, that is what is called a bhakti. When you are experiencing the Atma, that is called a bhakti. Susvarupanu anusandhanam bhaktiriti abhidiyade. That is how you call it as proper bhakti. When you are experiencing the self, Atma inside, what that Atma is, when it comes in experience level, that is called a bhakti. And because we do not know this definition of bhakti in that way, therefore we keep arguing about bhakti in various ways. People argue each other about that. What does bhakti mean? People say, is necessary after jnanam, after self-realization. Is bhakti necessary? They ask that question. It all depends on what you mean by bhakti. That's the first thing. If you understand that terminology, bhakti, properly, then you can see here, Krishna's definition of bhakti, as far as you can see from the Bhagavad Gita, is almaradi. Absorption in the soul and experiencing the soul is called bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita. Almaradi. Yes, almaradi revasya, almadruttascha manava, atmanyevaya santushta, tasya karyamna vidyate, Krishna is saying. So, experience of Atma is called bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita. So, depends on, because when people ask this question, they have some vague concept of bhakti in their mind. It is keeping that inside, they are asking this question. That, will I have bhakti? After the jnanam, you need bhakti. They say that. They ask this question. Because they don't know what bhakti means. Bhakti is a word very much misunderstood. Because everybody is a devotee in this world, strictly speaking, isn't it? Ultimately, everybody is a devotee. All at different levels, that's all. People understand that word, bhakti, in different levels. Anyone who comes to temple is a devotee. Who has come to the temple is a devotee. Is it not? There's some faith, whatever that may be. Some faith he has got, that's all. But that is maybe very beginning stage it is. But this we are talking about the highest realized state. What's that bhakti means? So, bhakti, if you ask that question, after self-realization, is bhakti necessary? If you ask that question, the answer to that is, what do you mean by the term bhakti? What do you understand by the term bhakti? Because as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, bhakti is defined as almarati. Almarati means the absorption in the self, absorption in the self. In the Upanishads also, the same word is used. Almaradihi, Alma Kridaha, Alma Midhanaha, Alma Anandaha. This is the nothing but Alma. Alma's awareness of Alma, experience of Alma, because that Priyam is coming from Alma. Where else is it coming from? Priyam is coming from Alma, and that is what is bhakti. So, when you are absorbed in the Alma, natural way, that Alma releases that Priyam, and that is bhakti. So, bhakti, that is why Krishna is saying, bhaktyamam abhijanadi, only through bhakti. So, when Krishna uses the word bhakti, with what Krishna means by that, if you look into Bhagavad Gita overall, you will see, abhijanadi means that he gets to know me properly and closely, very closely get to know me. Visheshena janadi, that is what it means. Abhijanadi means visheshena janadi. You will see this in the second canto of Bhagavatam. These things comes in the Bhagavatam also often. This same topic is discussed there in the Bhagavatam. You can see there in the second canto, that is when the when Krishna talked to Brahma about the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. At that time, Krishna mentions this. After Chatushloki Bhagavatam was spoken, you know, at that time, it is just before that Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Krishna mentions there, Yavanaham yada bhavo yadrubam gunakarmaka tadhaiva tattu vijnanam astude madanugrahad. There is a verse there. That it is not, Krishna is saying to Brahma, it's not so easy to know me. First thing Krishna makes it very clear. It's not so easy to know me. Yavanaham yada bhavo yadrubam gunakarmakaha. The Yavanaham, who am I? And who, what am I, yatha bhava, my bhavam, my rupam, my gunam, my karmam. All these things. Tadhaiva tattva vijnanam astude madanugrahat. I will give you that understanding, Krishna is saying to Brahma. Krishna is saying this to whom? To Brahma. He is saying, tadhaiva tattva vijnanam, that tattva vijnanam, that is what here also Krishna is saying. Tattva vijnatva. That tattvam. Tattvam is so important in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That one, without understanding the tattvam, if you continuously get absorbed only in the historical side of it, then the message is not getting through. That is why. That is why the tattvajnanam is so important. Is it not? In the Bhagavatam you will see this. When Bhagavatam discussion began, what did Krishna, first thing he said, if you look into the second chapter itself, you will see there that how important tattvam is. Vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabdhyade, says Sudha Goswami there. Sudha Goswami mentions this. So that tattvam is such an important thing. That, and he mentions there, just before that, kamasi indriya priti labho jiveda yavada jivasya tattva jityasa. So, tattva jityasa must be there in a person. If he does not understand the tattvam, then there will be a problem. Na artho is cheha karma bhi. So, tattva jityasa is spoken in the beginning of the Bhagavatam itself. And again, many places you will see this tattvam word used. Tattvam word is used in many other places as well. Again, in the 20th verse, evam prasanna manaso. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogada, Bhagavad Tattva Vichyanam, Mukta Sangasya Jayade. How important that Tattvam is, Bhagavad Tattvam. And it is in relationship with that Bhagavad Tattvam, Krishna is saying, Yavanaham yadha bhavo yadruva gunakarmakaha tadhaiva tattva vichyanam astude madanugrahat. By my grace, by my kripa, grace, Krishna is saying to Brahma, I will give you understanding about me and my Tattvam, he says. Tathaiva tattva vijnanam astude madanugrahat. It is after that Krishna gave the Chatushloki Bhagavatam to him. The four verses. Aham eva sameva agre nanyad yad sadasat param paschadaham yadeda cha yovashishyada sosmiham. And when you read those four verses, the Chatushloki verses, there is no reference to the form spoken. Is it? There is no form at all mentioned there. All that is spoken is about Krishna's tattva. The tattvam of Krishna is spoken. He says, Aham evasam evagri nanyadid sadasat param paschadaham yadedacha yogashishyada sosmiham hridayartham yatpradiyeda napradiyeda chalmani tadvidya almano mayam yathabhaso yathatama yatha mahandibhudani bhudesh uchavajeshvanyu pravishtani apravishtani tatha teshuna teshoham eda deva jinyasyam tattva jinyasun almana Annuya vidregabhyam, vidregabhyam, yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. So, wherever Krishna brings this tattvajnanam or tattvavijnanam, you can see here that what is Krishna saying? Krishna is not introducing like the way we introduce ourselves, isn't it? We introduce in one way, I am such and such a person, or where I come from, who are my parents, or whatever. That's how we identify and bring. Krishna, what will Krishna say when he introduces himself to Brahma? He says, I'll tell you about you, and then if you can understand who I am. He leaves it to Brahma to realize that. So, what he's saying here is that you will know who I am first. And you will also know what my limitations are, if there is any limitations. That means Krishna is unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. First we have to realize it, that Krishna is unlimited. That is not easy to realize that, is it? Because when we start looking at Krishna as in the deity form, or as a person, you won't be able to understand that unlimited nature of Krishna. Unlimited he is. That unlimited nature, what they call, and also that nature is, Krishna's nature is infinity. Infinity it is, isn't it? Krishna is infinity. And what else? All pervasiveness. Pervading everywhere, in all living entities, throughout the creation, Krishna is present. And that limitlessness, there is no limit. You can't put a limit on Krishna. Time and space has to withdraw when you start going to Krishna. Time and space you have to withdraw. And that's only, whereas we, because of our limited situation, we want to bring into a limited state Krishna. That is not easy. Krishna is saying, out of his grace he applies in, or comes to us in a particular form. Malsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, Narasimham, Vamanam, Sri Rama, Sri Krishna, like that, different forms he comes. But Krishna says, you don't know my unlimited nature, who I am. You don't know that. So that unlimitedness, or the and the limitlessness, in other words. Then what else? Timelessness. How can you relate time with Krishna? And similarly, spacelessness. You can't impose any of these things on Krishna. That is why he is saying tattva jityasa, necessary. Tattva jityasa na alpana. This word, yavan yaschasmi tattvada, covers all these things. Timelessness, spacelessness, and then causelessness. You can't apply any cause behind Krishna. That is why you will see that prayers in the Brahma Samhita. Sarvakarana karanam, isn't it? Sarvakarana karanam he is. How will you realize that? Sarvakarana karanam. So those things which are beyond our mind, beyond our intelligence, only when Krishna allows us to have it, we can have it. Otherwise not. Timelessness, spacelessness, causelessness, and limitlessness. All are in Krishna. So when we get to know Krishna, you have to know with all these things together. Otherwise you don't understand Krishna. You are only seeing a small, very, very small element what Krishna has allowed you to understand him. That is why in that verse Krishna is saying, Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tatvada. You will get to know me in the proper way. And that's the way to know Krishna. That's the way to know Krishna. Yavan yaschasmi tatvada, he says. Only through that tatvam. That means, yavan yaschasmi tatvada. And what is Krishna? What is Krishna's form? And what is Krishna is saying here? The person who is asking this question, what is his form? That is my form. Do you understand that statement? The person who is asking this question, what is his form? And that's my form. But because we don't know our own form first, that's where the problem is. Our real form as Atma, that is Krishna. That is what Krishna is saying there. If we, Krishna says, the person who is asking this question, that what is Krishna's form? If you ask that question, Krishna's answer is, the person who is asking this question, whatever is his form, that's my form. That's my form. So, that is the reason. If you have known who you are, then you will know what Krishna is. Till then you won't know what Krishna is. You see that? Once you know who you are, then you will know what Krishna is. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yaman yaschasmi tattvada. Tattvada. In tattvam you will know me properly. But we don't want to know that. We say, that's not my headache. I just want to have we want to have a personal relationship with Krishna. The problem with personal relationship is, it will appear sometime and then it will disappear. That won't last very long. This has happened many times in the history. We are all happy, or suppose I happen to meet Krishna once in this lifetime. We met him, but after that what happened is gone. And then I'm back in the same state before. That is why knowing Krishna in this way is permanent. Remember what happened to Dhruva? Remember what happened to Narada Muni? They met Krishna, haven't they? And then what happened? Krishna put them in a very unhappy state and left. They enjoyed seeing Krishna. But when Krishna left, Narada Maharshi says, I was told that I have to stay here in this world for the rest of my life, wandering around through the forest and doing various things. Same thing happened to Dhruva also. So knowing Krishna means, it should be such a way, you should never lose that again. In such a way, if you know Krishna, it's worthwhile. Not that I just met him, like many people you meet in this world. You may not meet them again. That kind of meeting is not good. In spiritual life, it's for this purpose. That is why Krishna is saying here, Yavan yaschasmi tattvada. If you meet me in the proper way, in the tattvada stage, then that meeting is proper. Because then you will know me in the proper way, that you will never lose me again. You will never lose me again. Many, many devotees had to go through this problem in their life. That because initially it's like this, some people say, he had a darshan of Krishna sometime in his life. Many, many people had darshan of life, Krishna in life. But then Krishna has disappeared afterwards. Krishna gave the darshan to them and they had an opportunity to see Krishna. That was only Krishna said to Narada Maharshi, in order to strengthen your faith, I have given you this vision. Only to strengthen your faith. But that is not a permanent established relationship. Permanent relationship is only this, Yavan yaschasmi tattvada. That you have realized Krishna inside. First of all, you have realized who you are. With that, you realize what Krishna is. And if you realize Krishna in that way, that's permanent, you can never lose it again. That is the difference. That is the difference. Because you can see here that when you start inquiring about yourself, who you are, the body, mind, intelligence, ego, you start realizing that none of them is me. Body is not me. Mind is not me. Intelligence is not me. Ego is not me. All that realization. And when you reject all that, what remains then? Only the living spark inside. Consciousness inside. Only the living spark inside. And when that living spark, when it has become Brahma-bhutam. Remember? In the last verse he mentioned, Brahma-bhuyaya kalpade. When that living spark has become Brahma-bhutam, at that fall, after realizing that, that means, after rejecting the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, everything. After rejecting all that, what is left behind? That living spark. When that living spark has completely realized, become Brahma-bhutam. Brahma. Living spark will become only Brahma-bhutam when the avidya goes away from inside. When it has become Brahma-bhuyaya kalpade, or as Krishna said that, Brahma-bhuta prasannalpa. Brahma-bhutam. He has become Brahma-bhutam. Like, we became Jiva-bhutam. Is it not? We have become Jiva-bhutam. So, it is the same Alpa which has become Jiva-bhutam. Now it becomes Brahma-bhutam. When all these Upadhi is taken out. Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses. All Upadhi is taken out. That Jiva-bhutam, it goes. It's not Jiva-bhutam anymore. It has become Brahma-bhutam. And when it becomes Brahma-bhutam, after that only you have to inquire about whether whether that it problems what we have now, whether it is Advaitam or Dvaitam or Vishishtadvaitam or Shuddhadvaitam or Kevaladvaitam or Ajindya Bheda Vedam. Why worry about all this now? First get to that stage. And on this issue, everybody agrees. All acharyas agrees on this issue. That you have to realize the self first. It's only after that these questions comes. Which one? About there is arguments begins. So everybody says, whether it is Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them, first thing they say, you realize the self who you are. It is only after that, and they don't have any argument about that among them. Among them, there is no argument about that. But after self-realization, which way to go, in this way or that way, that is all only difference in the words. It's only difference in the words. You will see at that point, at this point in time, if we talk about it, it won't make any sense. It won't make any sense. These Advaitam Vishishta, these were the acharyas to argue each other. They are the ones who discusses that. Ordinary people discussing them makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. Because first thing, whether any acharya for that matter, all the great devotees, jnanis, they all agree with this one thing. You have to know yourself who you are first. Without knowing that, what use is talking about all the other different schools of philosophy and different logic and everything. So they are just, that is what I'm saying. So, and you'll also realize that once you have realized the self, that in experience level, there is no difference at all between the realized soul. So therefore, Krishna saying, Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi, through that para bhakti, you will experience me as your own soul, and you will know me properly at that time. And who am I then? Sarva ubhadi vinir muktam. I have no more ubhadis anymore. Sarva ubhadi vinir muktam. Tatparatvena narmalam. Isn't it? In the Rupa Goswami mentions that. Ubhadis have gone away. Once the upadis leaves us, upadi means the different conditioning what we have, like the body, the mind, intelligence, ego, senses, they are all our upadi. So all the upadis have gone away from me. No more conditioned by the body or the mind or the intelligence or the ego or the senses. All of them has gone away. Sarva upadi vinirmuktam. Then what else? I am that Uttama Purusha. Uttama Purusha means, remember in the 15th chapter we discussed that. Uttama Purusha Stanyam. Uttama Purusha, and my identity is like the space. And Tatmam Tattva Jānāti. And Krishna says there that Bhaktyamam Abhijānāti. Mam Tattva Tata Jānāti. That means he knows me properly, he says here. At this moment, when we are now in this present state, we are sitting in this one body. We are situated inside this one body. And we are engaged in sadhana in this body, sitting inside this body. And we are thinking while doing this sadhana, I am something which I don't know what it is inside this body. This is what I am thinking about me, is it not? I feel no connection with the world. I feel no connection with any other living being. When you are in the sadhana stage, everyone, when you are in the sadhana stage, you are thinking about yourself. Say for example, what do you think about yourself? You are thinking like this. I am something, I don't know what it is. I am inside this body sitting here. And I am doing this sadhana. So, therefore, and because it is like that I am so convinced myself that I am something inside this body. This is my first problem. I am so convinced that I am something inside this body. I have nothing to do with the rest of the world. What happens with others? So, therefore, always I am thinking, when there is some changes in the body, body is changing, and disturbances comes in the body and in the mind, I feel something, what's happening to me, I say. I say to others, something happening to me. My mind is getting disturbed, or my body is having some serious problems coming. So I start experiencing something. So every time I'm only thinking I'm inside this body, nowhere else. Only inside this body. So I'm experiencing Krishna or me inside me in some form. In a very limited form I'm experiencing at the moment. And that is what is called in the Shastra as Parichinam. Parichinam means a very limited experience it is. And when this Sarvobadhi Vinirmuktam, when Upadhis goes away, suppose you have lost a body, body has gone and you haven't got another body. Imagine that state. Suppose you have got out of this body. But unfortunately what happens is, often we think, anyway, if I go, I lose this body, I'll get another body, called a spiritual body, isn't it? And once I get that spiritual body, it won't get sick, it won't get old age, it won't get diseased. I would like to get an experience of that body. But again, I'm thinking only limited to that body. I'm not out of the body yet, still inside that body. But here Krishna is saying that Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvada. Whereas in the Atma, there is no experience of the body at any time, whatever it may be. In the Atma, there is no experience of the body at any time. That is what Krishna is saying here. Mam Abhijanadi Tattvadaha. That is why Krishna used that word, Abhijanadi. In Krishna is Atma. In Atma, there is never any experience of a body, the way we talk about a body. Today, body means limited. As soon as you say body, limited. There ends there. So this experience can only be there in the Atma, not in the body. It cannot be in the body. So when we experience Krishna as Brahman or Ishvara or Bhagavan, whichever way we address that doesn't matter. One and the same thing. Either as Brahman. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita you will see at several places, several terminologies used. Some places Krishna will call himself as Ishvara. Ishvara sarvabhodanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. There he is Ishvara. In another place he calls himself as Brahman, isn't it? Aham brahma param dhama brahma aham paramam padam in the Bhagavatam. So there Krishna is Brahman. And again in the Bhagavad Gita you will see in the 9th chapter, I think, where he, in the 10th, vibhudis. When he talks about the vibhudis, what does he say about himself? Krishna is saying here that there are few verses there where he mentions that Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanyitaham. There, param brahma param dhama brahmaham pavitram paramam bhavan. Arjuna calls Krishna like that. Param brahma param dhamam. There Krishna is Brahman. Another place Krishna is Ishvara. And in the third place, everywhere it is Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So whether you call him as Brahman, Ishvara or Bhagavan, one and the same. Vastu is the same. Even in the Bhagavatam, when Vedavyas started compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, deliberately he didn't use the word Krishna there. He used the word Vastu, did he not? Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayun Mulanam. Why? Because difficult to give a name and say that this is it. Vastu is such a thing. That it is, we address Krishna because as devotees you address him as Krishna or Bhagavan. That is a devotee's approach. But you cannot write off others who are following Krishna. Jnanis and yogis and karma who are following the other processes. They are also in their path. So when you take that all into account, you will see in the Bhagavad Gita in different places, Krishna is addressed in different way. Many places it is Bhagavan Vacha, isn't it? Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Other places it is Ishvara, many places you will see. And Arjuna is calling him as Param Brahma Param Dhamam Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. And Krishna confirms that, did he not? What did he say? Ahustu Krishaya Sarve Devarshi Narada Sada Asito Devalo Vyasa Soyam Jaiva Bravishime. He says, Narada Maharshi, Asita, Devala, Vyasa, all of them are saying, you are Parabrahmam. You are Parabrahmam. And then Krishna is saying also that when he is talking about the Krishna's identity, you will mention there, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pravartade. There are verses in everywhere, you will, if you look in the Bhagavad Gita, in so many places you will see that Krishna's identity as Brahman. And Aham alpa gudagesha sarva bhutashaya sthita Aham adhyancha madhyancha bhutanam angamevacha Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade Idi matva bhajandema buddha bhava samanyuta. So Bhaktyamam abhijanadi, Krishna saying that abhijanadi means that you come to know Krishna as Brahman, as Ishvara, as Bhagavan, all of them. That is abhijanadi. It's not good enough just to know as Bhagavan alone. You have to know him as Bhagavan, you have to know him as Ishvara, you have to know him as Brahman. That is the total realization of Krishna. Total realization of Krishna. And Krishna says, tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tad anandaram. Anandaram vishade. Then what does that mean? Tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tad anandaram. When you realize like that, you are realizing there that there is no gap between this Antaryami inside and Krishna. Not even enough space to put one mustard seed in between. To that extent, it has become one with that truth. One with the truth. So, that is what this Vishade Tadanandaram means. Otherwise, how would you explain that verse? Vishade Tadanandaram means that you are entering into that Krishna. Entering into that Krishna's form as Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, and you disappear after that. You are not there anymore. You don't exist anymore. That means ahanda, ahangaram has completely gone away from inside. Complete disappearance of that false ego from inside. Vishade tadanandaram. In the Upanishads, what they talk about that is, just like the river is flowing to the ocean. River goes and joins the ocean. River loses its identity. There is no river anymore. It's all ocean. Krishna is Brahman. Krishna is the ocean. In that ocean, we go and dissolves. And yada nadyasya syandamanaha. Upanishad words. Nadyasya syandamanaha. Upanishad says like this. That it is whatever that is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, it must be in conformity with the Upanishads. Because it can't be something different. It has to agree with the Upanishad statements. Yada nadya syandamanaha. And Shruti says, just like the rivers which are flowing, they go and disappear in the ocean. Similarly, the jnani, who realizes the soul, who realizes herself, nama rupam vihaya, names and forms, goes away from him, and he all other names and forms disappears. His own name and form disappears. His own name and form disappears. And paralparam purusham upayidi divyam. And paral purusha. Paralparam purusham upayidi divyam. That paral purusha or Krishna or Supreme Lord, whichever way, depending on the relationship one has with Krishna, he can address that. He enters into him. And swayam vishade. Swayam vishade. Vishade means that he enters. He enters into him. Vishade means to enter. Vishade means to enter. Tadanandaram. Andaram vina. He enters into him. And in that state, how is that entry? When he enters into Krishna, in which way? Tadanandaram. There is no gap anymore. Anandaram means the entry is in such a way that there is no gap between the individual self and the Supreme Self.
There is no gap anymore. That is what Vishade Tadanandaram means. It's a very difficult thing to comprehend that, because Krishna is saying this is only possible through that Parabhakti stage. Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tatvada tadomam tatvado jnatva. Because in order that to happen, all other things has to go. Which one? Timelessness, spacelessness, costlessness, limitlessness, all this has to happen within us. Only in that state, the individual soul, up to that time, the individual soul who was identifying with this individual body, thinking that I am limited to this body, I cannot see, relate with anything else in this creation. Only because it's natural, isn't it? When you are in the sadhana level, sadhana stage, what do we think about ourselves? Only about this body. And when we pray to Krishna also, we only pray in such a way, at least keep this body happy. Whatever happens to all other bodies in the world, we don't pray for all everybody else. Of course, sometimes we do. But always, the prayer will be for this body first. We won't be praying for everybody's body and not praying for this body. Is it? First, our priority is this body. Why is that? Because as far as I am concerned, I am in this body, not anywhere else. Other body, we say to Krishna, if you so desire, you can make it better. If you so desire. But this body, whether you desire or not, no. I want it. Have you seen those prayers? People pray like that. If you so desire, we say to Krishna. Make all other body better, feel others better. But this body, I don't give you any chance. You do it. So always there is a preference for this body. Because why? Because I'm inside this body. I'm so convinced about that. That's the reason. So, whatever it may be, Krishna's point is here that this Vishade Tadanandaram, to explain that, you have to know the consciousness level. Only in the consciousness level this entry is happening. That means Krishna is saying, when this Tattvam, Krishna Tattvam, is properly understood and realized, Tadomam Tattvado Jnatva, then you can enter into Krishna. Entry means that you become that. Unless you become that, you can't enter into Krishna. You have to have that same consciousness like Krishna has, only then you can enter into Him. And you become one with that. Become one with that. Otherwise it is not possible. And that is, that it is at that time this bhakti becomes the highest level, in its highest level. And that Krishna calls it a sannyasam in the early Tasmat, he says here that Tasmat nyasam esham tapasa madi ittabahya. All these statements, what you are reading now in this chapter, are taken from different Upanishads. You can't cut that off. All these statements, what you are reading now, Brahma Buddha stage, and what Krishna talked about, the Nashochati Nakankshati, Samasarveshu Budeshu, Madbhaktim Labhate Param, and then now this verse, these are all Upanishad statements. It has come, and it mentions here where they come from, where they are coming from. Viditva Vithayadam Bhikshacharyam Charandi, Brihadaranya Upanishad. That's brought into this. Tasma Nyasam Esham Tapasa Madirikta Mahu, Mahanarayana Upanishad. It's come. Nyasa Eva Atirejayad, Narayana Upanishad. Sanyasa Karmanam Nyaso, the second verse in this chapter. Vedan Imamja Logam Amamja Parityajya, Abhastamba Sutram 2:23-23. Tyaja Dharmam Adharmam Cha, Mahabharatam Shanti Parvam 33:29-40. Ityadija Darshidani Vakyani. All these Upanishads Vakyam, Krishna has summarized in this one particular verse. So when you look at that verse, I don't know what you have thought about that verse before we talked about this. Bhaktyamam abhijayanadi yavan yaschasme tatvada tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Vishade tadanandaram. Now, if you read, you will see there that one can understand me as I am, The Supreme Personality of Godhead only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. He can enter the kingdom of God. It's a translation like that, but what you have to understand is, we are now talking about Vishade Tadanandaram, Krishna is saying, enter into me, enter into Krishna. Isn't it? Tadomam tattvado jnatva Vishade Tadanandaram. You can enter into me after that, he says. And that entry into Krishna is the important thing. What is that entry means? What does that entry mean? That's the question, isn't it? So, Vishade Tadanandaram, Acharya Swamiji mentions that it is when you realize that the Atma when loses our individual self, everybody says, this spiritual thing is not a question for arguments. You have to understand that also. That we shouldn't think that it's a matter of ego. It's not a matter of ego. That what we have to understand is that certain things spoken in the Shastram, as you go further in spiritual life and realization comes to you, you yourself will know that it is pointless arguing about all these things with others. It has no meaning. That is why, in spite of various schools of thought, Vedic philosophy remains intact still. Although there are different acharyas, different realized souls, they have all explained the Shastram in different way. Why do they able to carry on together? There is no animosity to each other. There is no ill feeling towards each other. Why is that? Because they know very well, those acharyas or great devotees, when they have presented, they know very well that initially you have to realize who you are first. Everybody agrees on that one point. First you realize who you are. After that only, all other issues comes. But then, when you have realized yourself who you are, you won't have any questions after that about it. This is the intellectualization. That is why he says here, the Shruti words are quoted here. And Krishna is saying that this is the climax of your austerities and penances. And all finally ends up in that sannyasam stage where this realization comes to him. And there Krishna says, you have proper sannyasam has happened. Why? You are no more identifying with the body in that state. Is it not? A stage has come, there is no more identification with the body. And also, there is no more identification with the individual self. That's also gone. Individual self is gone, and individual body also has gone. Both has gone. There is no more identification with that. So, that is why it mentions that, Teja dharmam adharmam cha. Mahabharata mentions this. Dharmam adharmam has also gone. So, this jnananishta, that state of consciousness, which is sarvasanga parityaga sarubam, that there is no sangam anywhere to anything in this world, and that anubhuti or experience inside, and that is what Krishna has spoken. And after saying all these things, Krishna is concluding bhakti yoga. Krishna is talking, concluding the science of bhakti, what Krishna has spoken. Krishna is concluding that. So when we hear or when we read all these things in the Bhagavad Gita, this chapter, we may be thinking, we are all householders. Most of us are householders. And householder life means different karma in this world, isn't it? So much karma, so much vyavahara for householder. And is it possible when we are absorbed in all this karma and all this vyavahara to come to this state, what Krishna is talking about, and reach that state of realization, what Krishna has spoken? And is it possible that what the Krishna calls it as parakashta? Parakashta means that the final state. That parakashta, is it achievable for us? Because all this was spoken in terms of sannyasam so far, is it not? The chapter began with sannyasam. Sannyasi is the one Krishna is talking about all these things. So, naturally as householders, we may have this question, what chance have we got? And if you ask that question, Krishna knowing very well that this will be going through our mind, Krishna decided to answer that, and that's the next verse. If you look, you will see that. Whenever we have spoken in this chapter up to now, it started with sannyasam, isn't it? The chapter began with sannyasam, moksha sannyasa yogam it is. All these discussions we had so far is all related to that sannyasam state. And world is not full of sannyasis, world is full of householders. And Krishna knows well that when he has spoken that all this, this doubt will come naturally in our mind. What chance have we got? We are not sannyasis. We are finding it difficult to even to leave small attachment in this world. What to talk about? And therefore, knowing very well the situation, Krishna has spoken the next verse. Sarva karmanyabhisada kurvano manvyabhashraya malprasadadavapnyoti shashvadam vadam avyayam sarva karmanyabhisada kurvano manvyabhashraya malprasadadavapnyoti Shashvadam padam avyayam. That's the answer for that. Sarva karmani abhisada kurvano madvyabhashrayaha malprasadad avapnodi shashvadam padam avyayam. Shashvadam padam avyayam. Krishna is saying that few things here. Grahastha means what? Karma. Grahastha has no time for anything else in this world. Karmam, karmam, karmam. Morning and night karmam. So, sarva karmani abhisada, Krishna is saying that he is busy with his karmam. Krishna has not said anything against that. And in this creation also we can see that there is first in this world, creation is there, srishti. Then there is sthiti, maintenance. And then there is samharam, dissolution. Srishti, sthiti, samharam. That is how Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva has come. Creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Isn't it? So, these three things are going on. Then, there is two more things. Tirodhanam and Anugraham. Tirodhanam and Anugraham. We have spoken this before also. I don't know whether you remember or not. But, first, let's come to that later. These five things, srishti, sthiti, samharam, tirodhanam, anugraham. These five things is what the five forces operating in this world, opening this world. This is the conclusion of the rishis. Panchakritya parayana. Five things are happening in the creation. You will see this, then you understand what they are. So there, creation, when we talk about creation, normally we think that we are the creators, isn't it? General impression is like that, we are creating things. Or we create the progeny, children, grandchildren, like that. So in all creation, we think we have a role to play. We have a role to play. Similarly, if you take into the maintenance also, general impression is, in the human population is, we are maintaining everything. Is it not? We think we are creating, we think we are maintaining. Illusion or Maya makes us think like that. It is Maya's power, capacity, ability to make us always feel that we are the controller of the situation, any given situation. We are creating and we are maintaining. If we were not maintaining, what will happen to this world? This feeling is very strong in the human mind. And when destruction comes, say people are dying and going from here, we are thinking something has gone wrong, what we We didn't take notice of it properly, or we didn't take care of it properly, therefore it has happened. And this thought like this, the way to think like this, is called in the Shastram as Ajnanam or Avidya. Because we are thinking that a person is dead and gone, and we have no knowledge about him, what happened to that person. We haven't even known what he is, isn't it, first of all? Somebody, say someone known to all of us, died and gone from here. When he is dead and gone, what do we think about that death? We think like this, that we don't know what has happened to him. Okay, somebody may tell he has gone back home back to God or not. But how far do you believe all that? I don't believe it, to be honest about that. I don't know, you may be believing it, but I don't. Anybody tells me that somebody is dead and gone, and somebody else comes and tells me he has gone back, come back to Godhead, it is a bit difficult to digest that. Is it not? Let's be honest about that. We'll be truthful. So, the point is that, to be very honest, that person who has gone, I have no clue what has happened to him. And I'm thinking that there's something in me lacking, that is why I'm not able to know that, what has happened to that person, isn't it? But actually, Krishna's point is, this creation itself, the original creation, primary creation, and all the secondary creation, and what we consider as creation, all of that, plus how all these things are maintained, plus when destruction happens, all of that, and after destruction, when it all disappears, all of that is Krishna's Swarupam. Krishna's action that is behind it. And that's difficult to understand that, is it not? How can we understand Krishna? So when we understand Krishna, at the moment we don't accept that it is Krishna's Swarupam. That this thing called creation, maintenance, dissolution, anugraham, tirodhanam. The five things. Srishti, sthiti, samharam, anugraham, tirodhanam. These five things is panchakritya parayana, is activities of Krishna that we can't see today. What we are seeing is we are creating, we are maintaining, and somehow death has happened. We don't know, somewhere something has gone wrong. The right medicine was not given and therefore he died. Or the doctors were not good enough. Somewhere some mistake happened. But Krishna is saying, for example, a man and a woman got married. And after marriage, we are saying that they are going to create a child. That's the general impression, isn't it? We all think, once somebody is married, husband and wife, they got married, naturally we expect children, to have children. So, and we think that unless there is a man and woman, there cannot be creation. This is our general concept. There cannot be any creation. So, but sometimes you have to see in the nature, creation goes on without that also, without male-female combination. Certain plants, for example, they can create without the presence of a male and female there. Certain living entities. And in the Shastram, they are called Sadhyojatakam. Sadhyojatakam means that living entities which does not follow our rules, what we think as the rules, Sadhyojatakam. Sadhyojatakam means they have born not as per the law what we have set up. What we have set up. And Shastram agrees with that. For example, this illusion we have in us that in order to create, man and woman is required. Man and woman is required. And that is called an illusion. That's called an illusion. Because women is only a channel for the creation. Remember, I talked about this before also. The women's body is nothing but a channel for the creation. And sometimes we can see that women say that, oh, I don't have children. We are not having children. So, you may say that, why they are not having children? When the time is right, and if there is, say, if the destiny is to have children, they will have children. But what is the reason for that? The one jiva has to come through that body. Remember I mentioned in previous lifetime that some another living entity must have a relationship with this living mother in some form to come through that body. Must have had a relationship in previous life. That is why a child is born through that body. So that is all it is. And he is only, the mother is only a cause behind it. That it is a passage through the body of the mother. Whereas we don't accept that, do we? We are always thinking that man-woman relationship means there must be a child. It is not like that. The child is only born. There is a higher law always working about these things. That higher law has to decide that this particular woman or particular man has to have a relationship in previous life, wherever it may be, and in that relationship there must have been another living entity who had to accept them as a mother and father, and then they come through that body. That is how the reality behind it. But that reality we won't, normally is never discussed. We'll always think in terms of, that is why when a couple does not have children, you can't take it very seriously about it, because if you accept the higher law, for it is an important principle in the Bhagavatam also. When in the fourth canto you will see this, twice this is mentioned, not once. Twice it is spoken to get rid of this illusion from our head. If children were not born, we shouldn't think that anybody is particularly responsible for that. Instead, you have to know that there must be a higher cause behind it, why it has happened that way. You know how Uddhava Maitreya Maharshi said this to Vidura? Look at the fourth canto, you will see that. Four, 11, and the 4:11 and the 19th, I think the verse. So anando andakara, kalo anadi adigrad avyayam, janam janena janayan. Marayan Murtinandagam. That's that verse. Janam Janena Janayan Marayan Murtinandagam. What does that mean? Janam Janena Janayan Marayan Murtu Andagam. It's a very, very, very important statement in the Bhagavatam. In twice it comes, in other place also it comes. Janam Janena Janayan Marayan Murtu Andagam. Janam. Janam means people. When Krishna wants to bring more people here, he brings two people together and through them he brings more people here. That's the creation process. When Krishna wants to bring some living entities here, he brings some people together, male, female. Doesn't matter. Male, female is not the important thing there. The important thing is Krishna's decision to bring somebody here. You must see that aspect rather than saying it's a male-female aspect. It's not the male-female that making the decision. Decision is higher level, much higher level. A decision has been made, a living entity has to come here. For that, there is an arrangement has been set up like this. That's what it's called janam janena janayan. Do you understand? It is not what the science says that, oh, only male-female relationship. And then, as conditioned souls, we also think in the same way. Oh, once they have got married, or they should have children. We think like that, is it not? But, whether to have children, and to have, or not to have children, that decision is not made by the husband, or the wife, or the society, made by the higher authority there. Janam janena janayan. Then, if Krishna wants to kill somebody, what does he do? He creates quarrel between two groups of people. Using the same people, he will make them fight each other and he gets rid of what he doesn't want here. Who makes the decision then? There. He makes the decision. So, whether it is creating the population or it is destroying the population, decision is made by Supreme Lord. Krishna makes the decision. We blame each other, though he has done this, he has done that. You can see in every conflict, if you look at it, behind that there is Krishna. Without Krishna's sanction, it won't happen. Krishna has sanctioned that. That is why it's happening. Otherwise it cannot happen. Because inside both parties, in both their inside, as Antaryami, who is present? Krishna is present. All Krishna has to do is to change the screws here. And they will fight. This is how helpless we are in this world. Because this is what Krishna did to Yadavas at the end. When Krishna decided the Yadavas becoming a burden to this planet, what did he do? Created a fight among them and went to Prabhasam and performed very nice charity there. All the Brahmanas were honored, worshipped, and they were given plenty in charity. After they have gone, they went to the pub straight away. The Yadavas, they went to the pub, got drunk, and then they pulled out all the sticks there and started beating up each other. Everybody got killed in that process. Only Krishna left, Balaram left, and one or two other people. Chadu Panjava Sheshida, four or five people were left. And Krishna's family, you remember how big it was? 16,108 wives and 10 children from all of them. All of them had other grandchildren, their wives. It was such a huge population in Dwaraka. Where has it all gone? Janam Janena Janayan Marayo Mrityugandagam. Bhagavatam answers that question. So, when you understand that principle, that birth happens not due to our smartness. We do a lot of things here. What do they call all sorts of, isn't it, for birth, from increasing the birth, and when you don't have children, you go to this place, that place. Sometimes people go to astrologers, some people go to NHS, some people go to Harley Street consultants, all various places you can consult. You can do any consultation. At the end, if Krishna decides to have children, you will have children. Nobody can stop it. That decision is taken on a much higher level, not here. Janam janena janayan. Using people, he can create people here. And using people, he can destroy people here. That is what that verse is saying. Janam janena janayan marayan mrityun andagam. This is the truth here. There is no point in questioning all these things. There is nothing you can do about it. To that extent, we are under control. So Krishna is doing all these things. Now don't ask why is he doing that. That there is no answer to that. That is Krishna's way of doing things, isn't it? And after doing all these things, Krishna is sitting there. I didn't know anything what happened. I don't know anything what happened. He says, and we start analyzing here that, oh, this conflict is going on. We have to have some negotiations now. This negotiation is going on all the time. What negotiations can help? Prabhupada used to make a laugh of the whole thing. He says, sometimes he used to make such a joke about this when there is a conflict. Because conflict is always there, isn't it? Now we have these different conflicts, what's going on now. Prabhupada's time also, there was other conflicts going on that time. So, whenever there was conflict, there used to be so much discussion about it. United Nations and this thing, that thing. Prabhupada says, what is it going to help? He says, somebody else has made the decision. What your discussion is going to help? He said to them. A few instances he mentioned that. What's the point you discussing? The decision is made by somewhere else. And you are thinking your discussion is going to solve it. And that's why none of these conflicts will come finally any conclusions. It will continue like this. You are discussing something and they are fighting each other together. That's never going to go. So, janam janayana janayan marayan mrityugandagam. That's the first principle. So, and Krishna is saying here, in our calculation, Krishna doesn't come. In our calculation, isn't it? Krishna doesn't come. So, we say that, this couple had children and that couple didn't have children. And we say that these people have killed him, those people have not killed him. So that is all in the external world. You can make all these statements. And we appears as though as an external cause. It appears to us the cause, something we find. But none of this is responsible for that. Similarly, we think that we are looking after ourselves. Is it not? We think that, oh, we look after ourselves. And we think that it's because of our looking after we are living in this world. We feel healthy, we feel fit, and we feel we are living so long because I looked after myself. And we take a lot of credit also. That lifespan is going up, that means our science is working, NHS is working, everything is working. Look at the way the lifespan is going up every year. It was 40, 50, 60, not 70, 80. It's going up. And we think that one day it will go like this, forever, going up. But samharam, tirodhanam, two things Krishna mentions there. And finally, anugraham, mercy also. So what we have to understand here is that neither of these three, creation, maintenance, destruction, in reality we haven't got much to do here. That decision is taken from Krishna's side. Now the other two, Tirodhanam and Anugraham. Tirodhana means that we are in the grip of Maya. And Maya is giving us this feeling that everything is fine here. Is it not? We feel great, protected, and we feel something permanent here. Is this a permanent place to stay? A permanent abode where everything will be alright. And what they say in English, hoping against the hope, we live here. That even everything will go wrong in life, still he is thinking, you will be alright one day. It's going to come out at the end, everything will be alright. So that hope keeps us going in this world. We know that it's not going to be much different. 10 years from now it could be worse than what it is now. But still, who gives you that hope inside? Who does that? Maya. Maya's power, imagine how good she is. If she was not there, we couldn't have lived here. She keeps us going. Is it not? It is her mercy that's keeping us going here. Otherwise, we would have all hung by now. Seeing the miseries of this place. We would have given up long ago. But because she has always put this into our head, that it will be alright. Don't worry. It's all coming. The amount of destruction, what we work 40, 50 years to build up one country, in 20 days, they can blow up the whole thing. That's not what you see now. Destruction after destruction. And then what do? As soon as everything is destroyed, we'll say, let us start the reconstruction of the whole thing again. After we have destroyed everything. And we have so much belief in ourselves, Maya's way of how to keep us occupied in this way. When we are destroying things, there was no consideration. Just blow up the whole thing. And then we start the rebuilding everything. So, Tirodhanam and Anugraham is this. That when Maya is keeping you in this state, unable to know what is the reality and suffering here in this way, and not being, experiencing that there is distress here. That's the funny side of it. Even though there is so much misery here, we are not conscious of that, aren't we? We are seeing misery everywhere, but still we think it's not too bad. That's the answer. Not too bad, we say. How is this not too bad? What is not too bad here? Everything is so bad that still we say not too bad. And so this feeling of security, false security, and that Maya that is given to us, to retrieve us from this illusion and get back to us, that is Krishna's grace. From this freeing ourselves from this illusion Maya has created in us and unable to shake it off from us, because that illusion is so strong that even if I feel miserable for a few minutes, after a few minutes I feel, it's not too bad. I'll be alright tomorrow. Everything will be alright. The check is coming in the bank. Money is coming. Where is the problem? Everything will be alright. And something is telling me that everything is okay. Maya is keeping me in this state, and from there, to get back to some sanity, Krishna is saying, that is anugraha. That is Krishna's anugraha shakti. That is Krishna's grace. That is anugraha shakti. So, when Krishna wants to give that mercy to this world, anugraha shakti to this world, he will utilize somebody here as a channel. He will utilize someone as a channel when he wants to give that relief to this world. And that is when pure devotees, pure jnanis, great souls appear. So keeping them as a channel, Krishna will do the job. We start thinking he has done it. Actually, just like creation, maintenance, dissolution, behind that there is Krishna. Similarly, when Krishna wants to give us some relief from this misery, he uses somebody here, and through them, Krishna operates through them. Krishna operates through them. Either through some temples or some great personalities, realized souls, it will be such a person who doesn't have any selfishness inside. One who has completely come out of that selfish state, that will be Krishna's upadhi then. That is Krishna's upadhi then. Upadhi means the medium through which Krishna will operate. And through that person, Krishna's this power of anugraham, blessing, it will flow through him and it will work through him in this world. In this world. That is how that anugraha shakti comes. Everything is Krishna's power. Nothing is ours. We are just like puppets here. Whatever we have been told, we have to do it. We have no choice there. Krishna's power comes through us. And when Krishna wants to create, he will create. If Krishna wants to keep this population 5 billion or 6 billion, he will keep it. If Krishna wants to wipe out a few billion out of it, he can do that. Nobody will be able to say one word about it. You'll have to go either tsunami or earthquake or war or drought or flood or whatever it may be. Some form, it will come and Krishna knows how far it has to be wiped out and he will wipe it out. So, if we understand Krishna that way, creation, similarly, as I mentioned, janam janena janayan marayan murtyugandagam. There is no freedom anywhere. In creation, maintenance, dissolution, everything. Similarly, when Krishna wants to give some relief to us in this state, he will appear, he will come here, but it will be through a medium or a upadhi, some personality who has no selfishness, who has gone advanced in the spiritual path, Krishna will choose a personality, through him Krishna will operate in this world. And therefore, nobody is alone here in this creation. Nobody is alone. Now, earlier we mentioned that everything you have to do in solitude, alone, in seclusion, pranayama and dhyanam, meditation and all that thing. And we also spoke about engaging in karma, giving up karma and things like that. And we are saying that we can't do any of these things. That's a householder's position. Is it not? Householder is saying, we can't do anything. How can we give up karma? If you give up karma, we are in problem. And if you tell somebody to go in seclusion, that's also difficult because family life is so complicated. And we have to continuously engage in karma, and we are finding it difficult to go into that secluded state in solitude, what Krishna spoke before. And pranayama, dhyanam, what we have spoken so far, all not possible for us, for a householder. That's the point, Krishna is saying it. It is in that situation, Krishna is saying to us what this verse is saying. Sarva karmanya visada kurvano madvipashrayaham. Then, sarva karmanya visada kurvanaha. Sarva karmani abhisada kurvano madvipashrayaham. Then, sarva karmani pratishiddhani abhi sada kurvanaha anitishtan madvipashrayaha aham vasudeva ishvaro vipashrayo yasya saha madvipashrayaha mayarpida sarvalma bhava ityartham sa abhimal prasadat mama ishvarasya prasadal avapnodi shashvadam nityam vaishnavam padam avyayam. Krishna is saying here that in this householder life, suppose you have to do some karma which is forbidden, pradishiddham, karma which is forbidden. Even then, Krishna is saying, the problem is not the karma. The ahankaram, ego inside, is the block. Ahankaram is the block. The only reason, Krishna is saying, that is not allowing you to get liberated, is this false ego. Is the false ego. Nothing else is, karma is not the blockage. Karma is not the blockage. So, due to our vasana, or due to our prarabdham, whatever it may be, due to whatever reason, even if you have come and got involved in some karma, doesn't matter what it is, you got stuck in that, for example. Krishna is not saying give up that. Continue doing that. But one thing Krishna says there, mad vipashraya. Look at that word. Sarva karmani abhisada. Doesn't matter what karma you are doing. But kurvano mad vipashraya. Taking Krishna shelter is more important than what karma you are doing. It is all our false understanding that in this world people have to do some karma to survive here, isn't it? And that karma, in the modern world particularly, we can't even select what we want. What's available, you have to take it, is it not? Because you have to maintain the body. So, in a situation like that, you will never get a situation where everything is perfect in your karma. There will be a lot of faults in the karma. There will be a lot of inadequacies in the karma. That you can't help it. You are put there. You have to accept that. What Krishna is saying is there, do not worry about that. Why? Mad kurvano mad vyapashraya. Karma is not the important thing. Your dependence on me, Krishna says, is more important. Because that's only one thing Krishna has to say then. Krishna is saying here that all the time remind yourself that Krishna, I am taking your shelter, I can't do anything about it. I can't do it because I just don't have any other option. I have to do this, what has come to me. And you have to somehow save me from this difficult situation. You have to save me. And you should not ask me, what qualification do I have? Practically what Krishna is saying here is that all this bhakti process and this technical process what Krishna has spoken so far in terms of a sannyasi and all that, when it comes to a householder, Krishna is saying there is a complete concession there. He says if a householder is willing to depend on me, completely surrender unto me and depend on me, in that case he will also escape. He can also escape from here. But the problem is here, if you ask me, Krishna says, that if you ask this question, if you should not ask that what qualification do I have, because the only thing a householder can do is his ego or pride or his grip on his material life, where what he has got, he should continuously keep reducing it, bringing it down. That means in material life, householder's life is very much on a material platform, isn't it? He's got only a very short time for spiritual activities. But if he, even in that householder life, if it is very surrendered to Krishna, and continuously if he loses that grip or ego, grip is that ego, that I got this, I got that, I got my family, all other things, if he is constantly bringing it down, that grip, that reduces that then you can pray to Krishna, somehow take me out from here. I don't have any other qualification, but that grip has to come down. Grip has to come down. Just like they will say that in the schools, previously there used to be examinations in all classes from first standard onwards. But later on government said there is no need for all this. So what they said was that, say you come to 5th or 6th standard, and then there's no examination. So what they said, if you know how to copy the question paper, he is passed. He doesn't have to answer. He just have to know how to copy it. Then he can get so. So similarly, don't ask. You have to say it to, you have to be so surrendered at that time to say this to Krishna. We have to be so surrendered. Then you can say to Krishna that this is my situation. I can't do anything about it. And somehow or the other, let me carry on like this in this world. I have no choice here. And don't ask me what qualification do I have. I have done everything to my capacity, within my capacity. So that is what Krishna is saying. Look at that verse. Sarva karmanya visadam kurvano madhyapashraya. If you are like that, to that degree you have surrendered, then Krishna says, you can escape. You know how? Mal prasadal. By Krishna's prasadam. What is prasadam? Not that prasadam what we are taking. Here, prasadam means by grace. Krishna's prasadam. Krishna is pleased with your surrender. He is so pleased with your surrender. Krishna is feeling compassion for us. Somehow or the other, due to our purva vasana, purva prarabdham, we have been stuck in this world, in some different positions. Either with a big family responsibility, or some other prarabdham, health problem, wealth problem, whatever we have got. With all that problems, if a person surrenders to Krishna, and completely says to Krishna, that I am in this situation, I don't know what I can do, I'm stuck here, and I don't see any solution to this problem. On my own, I have no way of escaping from here. But I surrender unto you and hand over everything to you. It has to be such a fine surrender, like the way Uttaradevi did or Ambarish did. To that level, if the surrender is extraordinarily good, if the surrender is very, very good, then Krishna says, Mal prasadad, you can escape from here. Mal prasadad avapnoti. And you will reach the same state as the sannyasi whom we spoke about before. Shashwadam padam avyayam. You will reach that eternal abode, padam avyayam, where there is no more coming back from there. So, the only option what Krishna is saying here for householders is to completely depend on Krishna's grace. Completely depend on Krishna's grace. If you ask the question, is that not a weakness? No, it is not a weakness. Because it is a very matured state of our sadhana. Mature state of our sadhana. The more we surrender, to that extent, Krishna's grace will come. Krishna's grace will follow. That is the principle. The more that surrender is inside. But if there is no surrender, then it's very difficult. But it is, that relationship is very strong. The surrender and the kripa, grace from Krishna. That is what verse has got to say to us. So whatever we spoke about this 18th chapter so far, sannyasam, and it is quite understandable when we read this chapter and we talk about this chapter, people after listening to all that, after they stop coming, they'll say, there's nothing I can do. What can I do? So when it comes to that state, this verse 56 is the answer for that. Because if it is not practical, what's the use of having Bhagavad Gita then? Is it not? Bhagavad Gita has got a solution for everybody, whether you are a householder or whether you are a sannyasi or a brahmachari. Those who are high flyers, let them fly in that level, in this chapter, what they have spoken so far. But people like us who are not high flyers in spiritual life, we are ordinary people surviving here somehow, and we have got our own limitations and problems. Krishna is saying, you have also got an opportunity, but that opportunity is this. That sarva karmani abhi sada. Sada means always. Kurvano madhvibhashraya. Always completely dependent on Krishna and surrender to Krishna. Mal prasadad avapnodi. Only through that grace. The channel is only the grace. You are completely dependent on the grace of Krishna, not on your ability anymore. Up to that time, you will be dependent on your sadhana, dependent on your knowledge, dependent on your whatever you have done in this world. So many things you may have done here for spiritual benefit. But when it comes to this stage, even that has no value. Because you are saying to Krishna, my sadhana, what is my sadhana to get to see you, to get to you? It's nothing. My sadhana, what is my sadhana? What's my strength? Nothing. So in all level, you are admitting to Krishna that you have nothing to offer. You have no qualification, you have nothing to offer. If it has to happen, it has to happen only by Krishna's grace, nothing else. If one takes that attitude and surrenders to Krishna completely, Krishna says, Shashvatam Padam Avyayam, he also come back to me. He can also come back to me. That is why, so the more we get established in that state, this is also equally as good as that Jnananishtha what Krishna has spoken before. That means you have to understand, it is not so simple. This is what Krishna is saying here. You may think that, oh, this is very simple. All I have to do is to say to Krishna that I am completely surrendered unto you. Take care of me. It's not like that. That without that hangaram building up inside, never again, that you are in charge of the situation, you are in control of the situation, that has to completely go away from inside. That means total surrender has to happen. And if you come to that state, in order to do that, what is all required, you can imagine. That means, due to prarabdham in life, lot of miseries will come. When miseries come, you should not complain. You have to accept it as Krishna's prasadam, and that's very difficult. Is it not? Jnananishtha, what Krishna has spoken before, that's a difficult process, no doubt. But here Krishna is giving, now if you read this verse, so it's a much easy option, you may think. It's not an easy option. This is not an easy option because you can imagine in our own life, material life in this world, as I mentioned many times before, when the bomb will go, you won't know. When the bomb goes, you will get upset, frustrated, and completely you will lose your balance, isn't it? And you will blame others and cause so much distress, you will feel distressed yourself, and that distress will come out in some form to others. And then you will start analyzing the situation and thinking, why this has happened, this shouldn't have happened, had this not been done properly, this was not. A lot of analysis will happen within our mind when distress comes. But Krishna is saying, when distress comes in life, you cannot complain to Krishna about it. Why? Because what we will do, we will complain to Krishna. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for so long, and this is what you handed over to me at the end. So, from today onwards, let me bring down the number of rounds. So far, I've chanted 16. Now I'll make it 8. If things get better, then I'll come back to 16 later. Because you are breaking. You'll blame Krishna for that. My prarabdham has come in some forms. I've created some enemies. I've created some friends. They turned against me, put me into difficult situations. But blame who gets? Krishna gets the blame for that. So, what I'm saying is our business mentality comes in spiritual life also. And similarly, everything in relationship with Krishna is like that. But all that has to go from inside. When distress comes in life, totally accepting that it is my prarabdham, that is why this has happened. There must be a reason, I must have upset somebody, therefore it has come through another person to me in this form. That somebody has turned against me, somebody has upset me, because I must have upset somebody somewhere, sometime. That has come back through him. So in this way, never to complain about anything in this world, that is one of the requirement of this Sharanagati. This is Sharanagati. This word is nothing but Sharanagati. If you want to understand Sharanagati better, there is a whole list of songs which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, and about 8 or 10 songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati to Krishna. He explains that in detail, everything. You can buy that book, Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book. What is Sharanagati means, and then if you read that verses and all the verses what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, you will say exactly the same thing what you have said about all what we have spoken before. You will find that's more difficult than the one what we have spoken before up to this now. Up to this Brahmam realization, Brahma Bhuta Prasannalpa Nashojane Nakamshari, stage by stage Krishna has explained that, is it not? And after going through all these things, you have realized it does require a lot of devotion and lot of commitment and surrender for that. Now, if you leave that behind and come to Sharanagati, and come to, although it is spoken in one verse here, if you want an elaboration of this verse, that is there in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. And if you read those songs, there is about 12 or 13 songs there, but 8 or 10 verses, you can buy that. It is in Bengali, but it is written explanations to that in English, translation and detailed purports and all that. If you read all that, you will probably start thinking of going back to the Brahman realization again. It is so difficult. It is not so simple. We think surrender is easy. Is it not? That is why I am saying, we are saying bhakti is an easy process. You only have to ask a proper devotee how difficult bhakti process is. If you say jnanam is an easy process, neither jnanam nor bhakti is easy. Whether it is jnanam process, whether it is bhakti process, both process requires surrender. In one way or the other, you have to surrender to that process. You have to surrender to the process. Actually, you are surrendering to the process, isn't it? Jnanam process, as Krishna has spoken so far, it's all jnanam margam it is. Now Krishna is talking about the alternative, bhakti margam for the householder. Bhakti margam for the householder. So, in that situation, and you know what Krishna is talking about there? That's what he mentioned in the Bhagavatam when he spoke to Uddhava. Uddhava, if a devotee comes to me, how? Niravekshaṁ munim shandam nirvairam samadarshinam anuvrajamyaham nityam puyeye tyangrire nubhi. Remember that? Uddhava's famous words in the Bhagavatam. He says here, first thing is, in order to surrender like this, you must have no desire inside. Only then you can say you have surrendered. But is there, if you think about yourself, you can imagine ourselves if you look at it, in one day how many desires come? Every single day if you look, breakfast was not good enough, one desire there. Could that be better? Lunch and dinner, all the three times, some dissatisfaction inside, something was not right. Clothes were not good enough, something, there is dissatisfaction. Health-wise, so much dissatisfaction. Relationships, dissatisfaction. Family life, dissatisfaction. All the vyavaharam outside, dissatisfaction. So, throughout life, if you look, it is nothing but a history of dissatisfaction everywhere. So, and complaints. Krishna is saying, you can't have any complaints. And you can't have any desire either. Only when all these things have happened, this verse will work. Kurvano mad vibhashraya. So, similarly, no desires. Then, no vairam nor dvesham. That means no ragadvesham inside. Nirabeksham. Nirabeksham means no desire inside. Munim shandam. Shandi inside. Full shandi inside. Any misery comes, swallow it without complaint. Nurvairam, no enmity towards anyone in this world. We are people, a little thing is sufficient to get upset, to react straight away. And Krishna is saying nurvairam, under all circumstances. What else? Samadarshinam, able to see all living beings in the equal state. And Krishna says, anuvrajamyaham nityam, if I find such a person, I will follow him, Krishna says. Because he considers that person is so surrendered to him, to surrender to Krishna, Krishna says it's worthwhile following him, to look after him. That's why he's saying that. Although, because of Krishna's humility, Krishna is saying like this, Puyaye Tyangri Renubi, I'll take the dust from him and put it on my head. Practically what it means is, great devotees say that Krishna is saying that so that Krishna wants to be a personally look after that person all the time. That is why he wants to follow him. To look after anybody for Krishna is not difficult. But for a devotee to make sure that highest security is offered. You know, in Krishna's calculations also there are different security levels. Like we have, you remember government says, country is on a level 2 now security, they are saying. Level 3, level 5, different security levels. In Krishna's way of looking after devotees also, there is different security levels. So that security level for that devotee is very, very high. Personal security, Krishna is offering there. Krishna has done that to Mahabali, did he not? What did Krishna say to Mahabali? Rekshishe sarvadohantam sanyugam sabarichidam. He says, go to Sudalam and live there. I'll be standing outside as a bodyguard, he says. Anybody comes, I will deal with them. That was Krishna's role there. Sanyugam sabarichidam. So there are situations like that happened in the life. So if the surrender is good, there is a hope. If the other process is not possible, then this is the option. Now we have to leave it to individual to decide which way to go. There's not a lot you can do in these things. Bhagavad Gita is very clear and straight about that. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us, in this chapter, 18th chapter, what we have discussed so far, the only thing is, moksham is the topic, liberation. For that, the usual procedure of sannyasam was spoken. Come through the karmam, jnanam, and eventually how to turn that jnananishta. Karmanishta first. So first you have to purify the karmam. Through that purification of karmam, you will get qualified for jnanam, and then establishing the jnanam, jnananishta. That what Krishna has spoken. And in that jnananishta, various situations Krishna has discussed so far. What we have seen in so many classes, isn't it? In that jnananishta stage, what's happening to us? That's what has been spoken. Brahmanishta. And in at brahmanishta, how after that, it develops into bhakti. Parabhakti. That also we have discussed. And in, once you reach that parabhakti state, there is no more further to go anywhere. You have reached the final stage, final realization. And there is nothing more to go after anything anymore. Freedom from knowing something, freedom from becoming something, achieving something, attaining something, nothing to acquire, everything gone. All jijnyasa, jihasa, chikirsa, prayapsa, these are the words used. They've all gone. You are in the pure state of pure bhakti, parabhakti. That stage has come. After saying all that, Krishna said that as householder who was absorbed in karma and who was caught up in this world, and where there is, they don't have to feel disappointed because they were not sannyasis and they have been stuck in the karma. Therefore, this option Krishna has given. Sarva karmani abhisada kurvano mad vipashraya malprasadad avapnodi shashvadam padam avyayam. Suppose you have become so surrendered to Krishna that you have no desires inside, no complaints to Krishna for anything what happens in this world. To such a degree, if you have come to that, surrendered, Krishna is saying that that person will come back to me. Will come back to me. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamrida swadanam sarvapna subhanam param vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namnamagari bahuda nijasarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kalam Edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabi durdaiva midrisha iha jani nanuragaham trinaravi shuni jainam karoravi sahishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nathanam najanam nasundarim kavidam vajagadi shakamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadat bhakti rahe duvitvai Ai nanda tanuja kingaram padidamam shame bhavambudo kribaya tava bada panga jastida duli sadrisham vijindaya nayanam galada shrudhareya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira polagayar nijidam kadavapu tavam namagrahane bhavishyadi yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda grahe name Mushvishya vapa daradam pinashtumam അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാ തുലം വരോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തുന ഏവനാപരാ. സർവകർമാണ്യപി സദാ കുർവാണോ മദ്വ്യപാശ്രയാഃ മൽപ്രസാദാദവാഗ്നോതി ശാശ്വതം പദം അവ്യയം. ശാശ്വതം പദം അവ്യയം. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദേർ. സോ ഹിയർ വെൻ ദിസ് സറണ്ടർ വി ആർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് നൗ, വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ദി such a devotee who is that degree of surrender, who has that degree of surrender, which degree, the best words for that is that in the Bhagavatam, niravaksham, no desires, no desire inside, fully shanti inside, munim shantam, nirvairam, he has no enemies here, no vairabhavam, nor inimical feeling towards any living entity, nirvairam. Samadarshinam, always equal to everybody. Remember yesterday when we talked about the samadarshitvam, that when something gets inside, we have to learn to remove it from inside. And if it's building up, that's when you have to be careful. If something gets in, normally most of the things comes and goes, doesn't stay, majority of the things. But sometimes certain incidents in life, certain people in life, once they get inside, it won't go. Rest of their life, it will stay. And that means, samadarshitam is never possible then, is it not? So whenever any situation happens like that, because this is one of the most difficult sadhana, which one to cultivate this samadarshitam, equal vision. It's the most difficult sadhana. It's a sadhana actually. That's what Krishna said to Uddhava also at the end, isn't it? That he said, Visrajyas mayamanaanshan drisham vridamcha dehiyam praname dandavad bhumav asya chandala ghogharam. He said, if nothing is working, then the only option, Krishna says to Uddhava, that whomever you see, just fall down and pay your obeisances. That way, that inimical feeling will go from inside. That is also not easy, isn't it? Suppose you have to pay obeisances to everybody, then the whole day you will be doing that. There's nothing else you can do. So, Visrajyas mayamanaanshan drisham vridamcha dehihim. Because to come out of this bodily, you see, vairabuddhi or inimical feeling is due to what? Due to bodily identity. Is it not? It's on the bodily level inimical feeling develops towards another person or to anybody else for that matter. Because I'm in the bodily concept, that person is also in the bodily concept, and therefore inimical feeling has built up inside. And if it's getting too strong inside, that inimical animosity, if it builds up inside, Krishna says, be careful. Normal things don't create any problems, because just like we have in the vyavahara, many things you have to do, like paying the bills or shopping and all sorts of things what we do in the normal life, they don't create any problem. There also there will be little skirmishes when you go shopping sometimes. Something can happen there also. Anyway, they are not so serious. They come and go. But if somebody gets in, and if it starts building up inside strongly, then you have to be very careful. Because then idea is not to have any special feeling towards anybody. That speciality has to go from inside. Only then everybody will be equal. Otherwise it is not equal, isn't it? So in order that the speciality has to go from inside, Krishna is saying samatvam will happen. Samatvam, that equality will come. Yoga muchyate, Krishna says. So there we have seen there that the animosity or ragam, dvesham, all these things has to go, Krishna is saying. Nirvairam, samadarshinam, only that person, free from vairam, enmity, one who is in equal vision, one who has no desire, and one who does not make any complaint, one who is in total shanti state. It is that person Krishna is referring to in this 56th verse. That person, sarvakarmani abhi sada kurvano madhvyabhashraya malprasadada vapnodi shashodam padam avyayam. In the Shivananda Lahari, the same thing is spoken in a little different way. Yoga kshema durandarasya sakala shreya ప్రదాద్యోగినో దృష్టాదృష్టమతోపదేశ కృతినో బాహ్య అంతరం వ్యాపినాం సర్వజ్ఞస్య దయాకరస్య భవద కిం వేదితవ్యం మయా శంభో త్వం పరమాంతరంగ ఇది మే చిత్తే స్మరామి అన్వహం చిత్తే స్మరామి అన్వహం. నౌ హియర్ ఆచార్య స్వామీజీ ఇస్ అడ్రెస్సింగ్ లార్డ్ శివ. ప్రిన్సిపల్ హెస్ నాట్ చేంజ్డ్. ఇస్ అడ్రెస్సింగ్ లార్డ్ శివ. ఈ సెయింగ్ హియర్ దట్ యోగక్షేమ దురంధరస్య సకలశ్రయ ప్రదాద్యోగినో that you are the person who looks after all living entities, providing them, maintaining them, and you take the responsibility, and you are willing to give everything to your devotees, and all the perfect revelation of all the religious principles you have spoken, and all merciful you are, and that you as my savior, he says to Acharya Swamiji, says this to Shiva, because yogakshema durandharam. Durandharam means one who is ready for looking after the welfare of others. Addressing Shiva, he says here. So Acharya Swamiji says here, what shall I say? He's saying here in the words, our own security is concerned, is that in our hands? We will say so many things, but think about this. As far as our security is concerned, how much capacity we have to protect ourselves? What capacity we have? When we were in the womb of the mother, what arrangements? Did we go shopping there? Who was supplying food? Who supplied us food? And mother was taking the food, and when mother was eating, mother did not say, this is my food, and for you I'll see something separately, I'll give it to you. She didn't do that, did she? She took the food, and we had the food in the womb of the mother. She didn't make any arrangements separately for us. Krishna made the arrangements in such a way that we will be taken care of even while in the womb of the mother. For 10 months we survived there. Who made the arrangements? You can't say mother made the arrangements. Mother was eating because she was hungry. She didn't think that, oh, if I don't eat, no, child is going to suffer. More than that, she was going to suffer. First everybody look after themselves, whether it's mother also is sick. So mother took the food, and in that process the child got fed. In that process, child got fed. So there you can see from that what Krishna is saying here is that even in that state, in the pregnant state of the mother, mother didn't send me a milk bottle, did she say? Did she send any milk bottle at that time? So there also Krishna says, who made all the arrangements there while living in that difficult situation inside the womb? You remember in the third canto, Kavira Maharshi discusses that in detail about the life in the womb. So, who made the arrangements so that we survived there? And as far as that is concerned, that stay in the womb, Krishna treats everybody equally. Is it not? It's not that Obama gets 5-star facility there in the womb, and I get a lower in the no-star facility there. No. Obama gets the same facilities what I get in the womb. Nothing different. Is it not? So, all facilities, protection, shelter, health, your NHS, everything Krishna was looking care of in that 10 months inside the womb. And can you say that protection Krishna has offered there in the womb has gone when you have come out? That Krishna says, no, now it's up to you to look after. I'm not going to care for you anymore. He didn't tell us that, did he? When we came out from the womb? No. Even during the childhood, who is looking after? There's a saying, childhood in the children and the old people. Who look after them? Krishna is looking after them. Because in the childhood, because there is no proper intelligence to think, you are acting and doing so many things. Runs on the road against the traffic, and does all sorts of mischievous things.
And all mistakes we make at that time, because there is no sense in doing anything, isn't it? Childhood is like that, not proper discrimination. You are acting completely out of impulse. Krishna protects us that time. Old age comes, the same situation happens, comes back again. That's why we say old people are like children. For this reason, that you are losing your power one after the other. All different faculties are failing in the body. Memory is going, and ability to make decision goes away. And even relationships, we get all sorts of stress builds up inside, anxiety builds up. And still able to live in this world, Krishna is providing, looking after that older person also. So where is that when Krishna is not looking after us? How can you say that Krishna is not looking after? The very example that force which looked after us in the womb of the mother, which looked after us when we are children, which looks after us in the old age, looks after us throughout the life, isn't it? But what is happening is, when our ego becomes very active, at that time, that force which is looking after becomes not experienced by us. We don't experience it. When our ego becomes very strong in us, that force that has looked after us in the womb, and the force that has looked after us in the childhood, and that force which looks after the old age, that force is not experienced by us to the same degree when our ego becomes stronger. That's what is happening. When we become very egoistic, when our ahankaram builds up strongly inside, that is when we start questioning about that force. That force which looked after us in the... Because we completely ignore what happened in the womb. What protection we had in the womb except Krishna. And when we fell into this world, came out in this world, what protection we had? Who arranged the parents, father, mother, to look after? Who gave them that attachment towards a child to bring them up? So at every stage in life, when you look, you can see that protection was working behind the scene, without which this would not have happened. This life would not have survived in this world. Life would not have survived in this world. That's a proof. So, when that falls, when that ahankaram becomes very active, that is when that shakti or that force is not experienced by us. We are not able to sense that. And that is the reason, because that ahankaram is active, that is the reason that even after you have done sadhana for several years, and you have heard Srimad Bhagavatam for so many years, Bhagavad Gita so many years, and even after that, you are still where you are, started, because of the strong false ego, ahankaram inside. That's what ahankaram does. That is why they say that if ahankaram goes, even without Bhagavad Gita, even without Srimad Bhagavatam, you will realize the truth. But ahankaram has to go. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is only to teach us how to get rid of that ahankaram, and to explain the things to us properly. But what actually blocks self-realization is this ahankaram inside. Ahankaram inside. So that is the reason that even after performing sadhana for several years, you have chanted Hare Krishna whole lifetime, but still you are feeling that nothing has changed in life. Why? The ahankaram inside, that has been growing very strong inside. You can attend courses and seminars on ego also. They are running courses now. How to become humble. Courses, I believe. How to become humble. Courses are run on that. There's nothing you can do in these things. How to become humble. And people are asking questions. So when people ask questions, then the institution says, there's a course for that. Why don't you join? And then you go there and attend the course and get a certificate and frame it and hang it up. That I become humble from now on. The moment you become humble, it only takes 10 seconds, the whole thing will come back again. Ego is not such a thing that can go away easily. And that is why, even after so many years of sadhana, you realize it that things have actually gone worse. Instead of getting better, it has gone worse. Why? The ego has become much stronger inside. So, why the reason? That is what Krishna is mentioning in this verse. You are doing your sadhana holding on to your capacity and ability. Your grip is very strong on your capacity. And that is Krishna is not accepting. Sarva karmanya visada kurvano madvyapa ashrayaha. Depending on Krishna, you have to do the sadhana. Not otherwise, it's not helping. Completely surrendered to Krishna, you have to do the sadhana. Otherwise, that sadhana will be done by the ahangaram inside. Ahangaram is doing the sadhana. That means complete surrender is more important than your sadhana is. People are taking this sadhana as though something like a law that 16 rounds, if I chant 30 years, they calculate how many rounds I have chanted. You can calculate that, isn't it? And then there are certain statements in the Puranam also. If you chant 3 crores of Lord Ramchandra's name, you will be realized. Or if you chant Narayana for a few million times, you will be realized. There are so many statements like that in the Puranam. So people completely put their faith in those things. And they start. The purpose of saying that is only to make you chant. Otherwise you won't chant. So at least it's like a special offer from the supermarket. Make you say, put you to some offer. There's a similar offer in the Puranam. There are so many things in the Puranam like that. It's called Arthavadam. Arthavadam means, suppose somebody is very obstinate. He doesn't want to come to spiritual life. He won't chant and he will do all nonsense. The only thing to, you have to give him something to, just like the carrot, isn't it? You have to show the carrot to come to it. So they have said like this, because this person who is coming, he will have many, many questions. He will ask, his head is full of questions. And he will ask, so in that situation, the best thing is to tell him that Puranam says, because he accepts the Puranam's authority, Puranam is saying, 3 crores time, if you chant the Ramchandra's name, you will realize the truth. So at least he will chant a lot. And if he chants a lot, this ego will also come down a little bit. That's the idea behind saying all that things. So whatever it may be, the important principle here is that as long as that ahankaram is very active inside, even if you have done a lot of sadhana throughout life, and you have read Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and studied them, but still you are seeing there that you are not willing to give up that grip, strong grip, what you have on your own ability. That is ahankaram. That you feel that you can do it. Like we say that, you can do it, they say. So, what you can do, you can't do this. Anything else you can do it, but this you can't do it. Here, it is only possible when you lose that grip, strong grip on the ego. Yoga Kshema Durandaram, he says here. So, it is in that saying, when Krishna is there, why we have to say, it should be like this, it should be like that. Who are we to say to Krishna? This is all a part of that surrender process, isn't it? So, they give this example that a person is traveling in a train and he has got some baggage of his own. Train is moving and this person is thinking, the train is taking me everywhere, long, long distances. I don't want to burden the train too much. And he takes his own suitcase and he holds it. He says, suitcase I will carry, let the train take me. But suitcase responsibility, I'll take it. But Krishna is not like that. That means it's not very intelligent, because when train is going, you are going and the suitcase is also going along with it. You don't have to take the weight yourself, is it not? Similarly, when Krishna is looking after us, we don't have to have any necessity to feel that responsibility on our shoulders. So that is why whether you carry it or the train carry it, it's the same, is it not? Whether you carry the suitcase or the train carries the suitcase, it's the same. So similarly, when Krishna is running this whole show in this creation, that power, and why do we have to say it should be like this or it should be like that? And why do I have to take all the responsibility on my shoulders? These are all important principles in spiritual life, because when we get into problems in life, problem can come any time, is it not? It could be a problem within our own family or our own society, on a national level problem can happen. Like when fighting starts between two countries, you will feel a responsibility. I have to protect this country, I have to protect that country. At that, in such situations, if there is proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita, you won't get disturbed over that. Because the Bhagavad Gita's knowledge is higher than all this, nationalism, socialism, and all other isms of this world cannot stand in front of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Knowledge of Bhagavad Gita stays higher than that. When you remember, Prabhupada had explained this in his own experience level. When independence was fighting for independence was going on, at the time when Mahatma Gandhi was fighting, Prabhupada joined Mahatma Gandhi's movement. And when Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati first time, Prabhupada mentioned to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that what can we preach when this country is in this situation? How can we preach Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam to the world? He mentioned this to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. What did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati say to Prabhupada? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said to Prabhupada that today British are in control, tomorrow somebody else could be in control. It doesn't matter who is in control. This self-realization and the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, this knowledge is beyond all these things. Beyond all the nationalism. And because ultimately it was nationalism, that you feel that you are independent, actually nobody is independent here. Those who are thinking they are independent, they are also not independent. And those who think they are not independent, they are also not independent. Nobody is independent from the viewpoint of the Shastra. Everybody is dependent on Krishna. So till we realize the self, till we become free, released from this dependency, Krishna is saying here that everything else is false. So Prabhupada eventually accepted that opinion of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and that is how he stayed into Krishna consciousness rather than moving into the political movements. He pulled out of it. He realized this, that ultimately in life, you have only a 50-60 years of life, and in that lifetime, you spend in a way to get some success in the independence movement was not worthwhile, he felt. And he mentions that also there. So, intelligence says, is to leave everything to Krishna. It is He who is running the whole show here. Apraptam iti yoga says here that that abhisada kruvana anatishtan apraptasya praptahi yoga praptasya lakshanam chemaha says yoga prapta lakshanam chemaha and so apraptasya prapti means so praptasya prapti means spiritual progress. So your spiritual progress in life and similarly your material welfare also. Spiritual progress as well as the material welfare, both you have to hand over to Krishna. And in that process, in whichever way Krishna is pulling us through in this world, in whichever circumstances, whatever circumstances Krishna is pulling us through in this world, we move on in that route without complaint about it. And peacefully, if you live in that way, Krishna is saying, Shashvadam Padam Avyayam. Shashvadam Padam Avyayam. Krishna is saying to us, this train is going towards that goal, to that goal. And the place where you have to go, this train is going there. And that's where this train is traveling now. And then why you are running inside this train? That's what Krishna is asking. So, says here, Sarva karmani abhisada, kurvano mad vyapashraya, mal prasadad avapnodi, shashvadam padam avyayam. this example of traveling in the train with the suitcase in the hand, He is running inside the train with the suitcase in the hand, thinking that he will get there faster. Train is moving and he is running inside the train. But you can see he won't be able to run very far. After a certain time he will also drop. Is it not? So that is one example given to make us aware to shed the responsibility rather than loading the responsibility on our shoulders. That's what we have to learn. Because for this surrender, that's what is required. How to shed all the responsibility from the shoulder and leave that to Krishna, what is going to happen. Whatever that is going to happen. Sometimes you will see, here it's not so much because you don't have such long distance traveling here, isn't it? But in India when you travel, you will see, say from, if you buy a ticket from say, Delhi to South to Kerala or from Kashmir to Kerala, some trains are traveling. They will take something like 48 or 60 hours to reach the destination from Jammu to Kanyakumari for that matter. The traveling time is about 60 hours the train takes. So if you board the train in Jammu and if you look at some people, you know what they will do? They'll come. They will have booked the upper berth in the train. They will get inside and they will sleep. You know when they will wake up? When they reach Kanyakumari. 60 hours, one sleep straight through. 60 hours, they could sleep. And that's what is required here in our life. That approach. They will not know what all stations the train has gone through. Now and then they may have brought some prasadam with them. So they'll open this bag and they will bite something, close the bag, go to sleep again. Golden opportunity to sleep. So 60 hours, I have seen this many, many times when I traveled like this from Delhi to Coimbatore and Palakkad and all that. So many times. You will never know who they are and they won't give any trouble to anybody. And they will always prefer the highest berth so that they don't want to know anything what is going on in this world. This approach is necessary in this world. Whereas if you go and poke your head in everything in this world and want to know everything what's going on all over the world and start analyzing and discussing, you won't have time for spiritual life. There won't be time for. That's what Krishna is saying. So that kind of surrender, because there it's a surrender, isn't it? That when you are sleeping like that, it's an amazing surrender that is. 60 hours you can sleep like that. You don't know any of the station what passes through the train. You don't know day or night. All you are is you'll wake up now and then when you're hungry and you'll have something to buy because you don't want to know anything at that time. You just want to get home. So you just lie down and sleep and your luggage will be your pillow. So there is nothing that anybody can steal anything from you. And even when the, because in that such long distance train, there is no, the person who comes and check the tickets, ticket collector, he doesn't come very much because he knows they're all long distance passengers. And because of that he knows this, other people won't be there in that compartment. And those who have boarded the train at the beginning, they will be the same people almost till the end. Practically, you will see many of them will get down at the very last few stations before that. So, ticket examiner also don't come there. What he does is, there will be one person who attends to that carriage. He locks those who travel in India, you will know these things. He will lock the carriage from both ends. He'll lock both the doors, facilitating the passengers to sleep. So they can sleep as much as they want. So, at that time, you have no responsibility. 60 hours, you have handed over to the Indian Railways. It's their problem, not your problem anymore. So same thing. So that's what Krishna is saying. That kind of ashram, shelter. That is that madhvyapashraya means. Madhvyapashraya means complete surrender, handing over to Krishna everything, leaving all the responsibilities behind. So, similarly, in spiritual life, if you have handed over everything to Krishna, then you should not look back and start asking Krishna, where am I now in spiritual life? How far have I progressed? All these questions don't arise. This is surrender means. Then if you are complaining, asking questions, that means there is no surrender. Surrender means this. So, and you can't ask Krishna, how am I now? Where am I now in my spiritual life? People want to know that, isn't it? They want Krishna to give you some acknowledgement. How far have I come in my spiritual journey? That's why people write all these books. Spiritual journey. What spiritual journey? Where is the journey? Journey finish begins here, journey ends here. There is no journey as such. Begins and ends here. So, we don't ask, have I got anything? How far I have traveled? How far I have to travel now further? All these questions does not arise in that surrender. You see? That surrender is such that you are not asking this question, when will you take me out from here, from this misery? When will this journey come to an end? How far have I come now in my journey? How much more do I have to travel? All these questions cannot come up in this journey, in this verse. That's what Krishna is saying there. This verse, you have to look at it in a much more detailed way. It's not that sabakarmanya visada kurvano madhvyapashraya. Everything is just handing over to Krishna means this, that no questions, ask no questions. That's the important thing. So, if you have done that, he says, mal prasadad avapnoti. So, that surrender is not with the mind. It's not with the mind. It is by intelligence. You see? It's not by the mind. It's by the intelligence. And after you have done that with the intelligence, then you should not use the mind again. You should not allow the mind to come back and question it. Because it's been done with the intelligence. Because this requires intelligence to surrender like that. If that surrender happens, then you can't ask the questions anymore, and the mind will continuously come into it and try to enter inside. But you should not allow the mind to get in and to ask the questions at that time. And it is at that time Krishna says here that Bhagaval Prasadam, that means Mal Prasada Navapnoti, completely surrendered to Krishna's prasadam. That's what it means. That means, whatever Krishna has given you, you have to accept it as prasadam and you can't come. This is, if a greatest misery comes in life or distress comes in life, you should stand up and say to Krishna, I accept it, what you have given me, because this is what you want me to go through. So many distress will come in life. And what form it will come, very difficult to say. It can be anything. But in all that circumstance, remember I mentioned a story about Ishwarachandra Vidyasagar. I don't know whether you remember when we discussed the second chapter. This Vidyasagar was a great personality. Not that he has done a lot of sadhana. Not that he has done a lot of shastram he has studied. Simply because of this surrender. When he was such a surrendered person that when he was... He used to speak about this. There was a lot of people who admired his relationship with Krishna in the way that he has surrendered to Krishna. Being that pure surrender without any complaint in this world, he lived in that way. So in one instance what happened was that there was some meeting happening at home and some visitors had come and they were having a discussion about some few things. And only the night before, his son died. And the son's dead body was in the next room. And this meeting was so important that the son's body was not even cremated. It was ready, kept for cremation. Even at that stage, he was able to conduct that meeting with the friends who had come. And after that was over, he goes and then arranges the cremation. Personality like him, who had such a high degree of surrender that even when the greatest distress happens in life, they are not shaken inside. This is that because of the surrender. Because of the surrender. Only, and how is that? That Krishna is saying here, Mal Prasadal. Everything in life, what happens is Krishna's prasadam. Able to accept it. Good as well as bad. We are like this. Bad comes, little bad thing happens, we complain. Anything good happens, what happens? We'll say, I've done it. Nothing to do with Krishna. What Krishna has done? I've done it. This is us. So you can see the moment of that ego there. Ahankaram is not easy to get it off from inside. But Krishna is saying, in all circumstances, good or bad, mal prasadal. Everything is Krishna's prasadam. Under no circumstances, you can't complain about anything. Only in that stage, Krishna says, because what Krishna is saying here is that, and you have to continue, sarva karmani manasara, sarva kurvanaha, sarvam kurvanaha. You have to keep doing things what you have to do. For example, when distress comes, what do we do first thing? We stop all spiritual activities. Is it not? You see, let me sort that out and things are better, then I will come back to spiritual life. This is normal with people. But that's not, Krishna says, it's not surrender. Surrender means, even sarva karmani, whatever we have committed in spiritual life, we have to continue doing this under all circumstances. Sarva karmani. And kurvanam advivashraya. And continuously do it in such a way. Because due to that karma, what has come to us due to our prarabdham. Prarabdham has brought that karma in front of us. And that is our sadharmam. Instead of running away from that, instead, without even caring for all other problems, still doing that karma, what is necessary, what has been given to us, and continuously if you keep doing that and be dependent on Krishna, in that case, their problem, Krishna says, I will take care of. That is what that verse is saying. That means, whatever problem comes in life, accepting that it is due to prarabdham and not complain about that. And at the same time, not running away from the karma that has been thrown in front of us due to the prarabdham, what is that? Executing that karma properly without any deficiency and still accepting all the distress that is coming. And if one lives in that way, Krishna is saying it is Krishna's responsibility then to take care of that person. That is what he is saying here. Shashvatam padam avyayam. It's all about surrender. Bhakti is nothing but surrender. Surrender is the key to bhakti. Just like Shraddha is the key for knowledge. So one thing about this verse is, you have a lot of freedom there, isn't it? Lot of freedom. All Krishna is saying is, hand over to me. But because we don't hand over, that's why all the problem is. So, whatever may be your karma, Krishna says, keep on doing that. Sarva karmani abhi sada kurvanam madhivyabhashrayam. In 24 hours you can carry on doing that. Maybe while sleeping you may not be able to do that. But all other times, suppose your nature is always to be active, ever active, and you are doing something, but keep on doing that. But even while doing that karma, you are not actually doing that. That's what he is saying here. Kurvanam madhvyabhashraya. Madhvyabhashrayaha. Because more than doing the karma, more important there is your dependence on Krishna. Your surrender to Krishna. So, Krishna does not want our senses of knowledge or senses of action. Krishna does not want them. What Krishna wants is our taking his shelter. That is what Krishna is looking for. Krishna is asking us, I don't want your senses of knowledge or your senses of action. All Krishna is looking for is our taking Krishna's shelter or taking Krishna's shelter. That is what Krishna is looking for. So, ashrayam. Shelter means ashrayam. Isn't it? That is what? Mad vibha ashraya. Ashrayam. So, so, if you have handed over, because when you are engaged in karma, your senses of knowledge and senses of action is engaged in the world, is engaged in the world. But if you engage the senses in the world, but if you hand over your dependence or shelter to Krishna, then in that case, Krishna says, you will come back to me. It's a interesting option, isn't it? Krishna is saying that you can hand over your senses of knowledge, senses of action to the world, which means that you can carry on doing what you are doing. Doesn't matter. But if you have taken my complete shelter, in that case you will come back to me. That's also not easy. It's also not easy. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, so unfortunately what we do, we give hand over the shelter to the world. And senses of knowledge and senses of action we give to Krishna. Do you understand what I'm saying? It should be the opposite way. Surrender to Krishna, shelter in Krishna, and karma in the world. Instead, what happens? Shelter and surrender in the world. To the world we surrender. And shelter to the in the world. We take shelter in the world. In our vyavaharam, in our money, in our family, in our society. That is all where we take shelter. And we do business with Krishna. That means our senses becomes busy. Senses of knowledge and senses of action. Jnanindriyam, karmaindriyam. All of them are busy in doing our interactions with Krishna. Senses gets interactions with Krishna and surrender into the world. Instead, surrender to Krishna and let senses interact with the world. It's the other way. That is what we have to come out from this world. Because senses have to act. And once you start karmam, senses will act. You can't come out of it, is it not? Sarva dharmani abhisada. Krishna is giving you total freedom there. Sarva dharmani abhisada. Whatever may be your karmam, carry on doing that, he says. Kurvano madhi vyabhashraya. But even while doing that karmam, be dependent on me. So, shelter in Krishna, leave the senses to the world. Instead, what we have done is, we have taken shelter in the world and handed over all the senses to Krishna. Senses to Krishna. That means karma is carrying on and at the same time there is no surrender there. Surrender is into the world. Security and shelter we are feeling in the world and the worldly objects. So, as in that situation, Krishna is saying, I am not the shelter. So, that shelter can be anything, isn't it? Material shelter means money, position, what do they say? Society, friendship and love, all these things. So, people, ashram means shelter. Ashram is normally wealth. People take shelter of the wealth. So for the sake of wealth, we go to any extent to struggle in this world to make money. And you can see that for this reason, people are willing to go through a lot of austerities in life. Many years we spend in the union college to get some qualifications. Then even when you start working, you have to sacrifice many things in life to make that wealth, to make that money, isn't it? So therefore, then while employed also you are looking for changing the job for a higher income, because all the time that vyavasaya alpiya buddhi is for the money, how much you can make, isn't it? So that means what you are doing actually is the body, the mind, intelligence is all used for making that shelter perfect. Is it not? Mind, body, intelligence is all used for making my shelter perfect. Shelter is the wealth. Shelter is the wealth. So that shelter I have already made up inside me, that my shelter is in the money. So Krishna is saying here, first intelligent person, the first is this person who has known this principle, fundamental principle, that the shelter is Krishna and not the money, not the world. It's a difficult concept, especially in the youth, to realize that when you are young. It's very difficult to realize. We call a young man and says to him, Krishna is the shelter. It'll be very difficult for him to, because his own prarabdham is there, and his own vasanas are there. It won't allow him to take it on board straight away. After he lived in this world, you get a lot of knocks from all sides. And then you've gone through all the miseries of this world. You will slowly start come down to that understanding that actually only Krishna is the shelter. There is no other shelter in this world. This realization will eventually come one day in life. It takes time. So that's the point Krishna is making here. So one thing, another important thing is, there is nothing worthwhile taking shelter in this world. And Krishna alone is the only shelter. If once you come to know that, after realizing this, if you work, conduct any work in this world, Krishna is saying that, in that situation, I will take care of him. That means, if you have completely taken Krishna's shelter, and you have realized Krishna alone is the shelter, and with that realization, if you are functioning, operating in this world, Krishna says, I will take care of that person. From these explanations, what you have to understand is, that surrender to Krishna has to be to such a degree that there is no more questions to be asked about bhakti, about jnana. It has to be such a high degree, no complaints under any circumstances. Krishna saying if your surrender is complete, then whatever karma you do in this world, it doesn't matter. Karma is not important anymore because the surrender is so deep. So in that situation, Krishna says here that Krishna's point is, you have already given me the application to come to the spiritual world. Therefore, there is no problem anymore. And you also know that nothing in this world is worthwhile taking shelter. So, therefore, because you have taken that realization seriously, that there is no shelter in this world, therefore, your mind won't go and stick to anything anymore. It won't go and stick to anything because you know very well that it's not. Why the mind stick to something? The reason for that is, mind is feeling that there is some shelter there. That's why it is sticking to somebody. Some people are sticking to wealth, it's sticking to the house, it's sticking to the place, and so many other things. So the nature of the mind is that wherever you find the shelter, this is on the intellectual level, you have to completely digest this first. Intellectually, you have to digest it first. So that never again the mind will come out and start operating independently. Mind cannot come and question that. That decision intelligence has made. And in that situation, Krishna is saying that wherever you have taken the shelter, Krishna is saying this, wherever you have taken the shelter, in a natural way, your mind will go and stay there. That's the beauty of that mind. Suppose you have taken shelter of Krishna completely, then in a natural way, Krishna says, your mind will go and stay there. It won't go into another thing anymore. So, and there will be an undercurrent all the time within that person. What is that undercurrent? That undercurrent is like this. Even if he is engaged in some karma, even when the karma is going on, or when the karma is over, still this undercurrent will be working. Which one? This shelter. This shelter will be working as an undercurrent inside. And Krishna says here, and that will become that meditation inside. It will become a meditation for him. That's what Krishna is saying there. And that undercurrent is not what you are doing it. You are not doing it your own. It is the power of that shelter what you have taken. Suppose that shelter you have taken so strongly, Krishna's shelter, that shelter creates that undercurrent. It's not your creation. That creates that undercurrent. So in order that shelter, if Krishna has to become that shelter, how will that happen? Remember, when we discussed Narada Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi mentioned there, what does ashraya mean? Ananya Bhakti. Remember? Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha, he mentions there. Remember? That's Ananya Bhakti. Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. Anyashrayam means being dependent on somebody for anything in this world. That's not a very good situation. Is it not? To be dependent on somebody. That's not a good thing. So, that means the shelter comes from that. Suppose I have taken shelter of anybody. Anya ashraya. Ashraya means shelter. Anya means an external source. That's all it means. An external thing. External, another person, another money, or any other person, if you take shelter. Anya ashrayanam tyagaha. If you can give up that, being the shelter of somebody, then it is called ananyaha. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. So that ananya bhakti is what that stage is. That's what Krishna is saying here, that one stage in life you will realize this. It is not worthwhile taking shelter of anything in this world, because ultimately nobody can give you shelter, proper shelter. Is it not? Sometimes you will take shelter of somebody and that person may leave you and go. He may not give you that shelter what you were looking for. So many times this happens in life, isn't it? You are planning your life in a particular way and you are feeling as you are getting older, oh, my responsibilities are going away, I am getting released from all my bondage and now I should take spiritual life seriously. In that way you are making some thoughts coming through your mind. But suddenly you will realize it that the person whom you thought that will give you all the shelter, he has washed his hands off and gone. Or something else happens in life. Many things can happen. That someone in the family has become so ill that the responsibility has come to you to care for that person. So what will you do? Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananiha. Anyashrayatvam is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Anyashrayatvam is not a good thing. But Krishna is saying here that one day you will realize that anyashrayatvam is not a good thing, and that you will realize it when you live in this world for some time. You live in this world for some time. So, and you will also realize that if you have taken shelter of anything, and if you have put faith in anything, one day they will leave you. One day they will leave you. And only at that point you can come to this understanding that Krishna alone is the shelter. Only Krishna is the shelter. There is no other shelter. To come to that understanding, it takes time. A lot of kicks, lot of knocks from this world to before we come to that. Up to that time, it's our planning and our projects that's running. But when you get finally pushed from all sides, one day you say to Krishna like this, there is no other shelter. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, remember why the 12th canto is called Ashrayam. That even after self-realization, is there anything else after that? Sukabrahmashri says yes. What is that? Krishna shelter. Krishna shelter. So shelter can never go away. Shelter is Krishna. Krishna is the shelter. There is no other shelter here. It's all illusion. Maya builds up. But to get rid of that Maya is very, very difficult from inside. Krishna puts in such a situation that Krishna says at that stage, if you have taken that shelter to that extent, then even if you are not doing any sadhana, even if you are not meditating, you are not chanting the holy name, even if you don't have any time for that, doesn't matter. Krishna says, I'll get you out. I'll take care of it. But the surrender has to be so good. It has to be that level. And you can see here that in that time, because we are all caught up in different situations, we are now talking about householders. Mind will get absorbed in so many things, so many activities. Krishna is saying, carry on doing that, whatever you are doing, but surrender. But surrender. You know why all these verses are spoken now? It's all preparation for that 66th verse. Which one? Sarva Dharman Paritya. These are all preparing for that. Now, we have learned this game. All this is not important. We studied that four lines. And we say, look at me, I've surrendered. I know. Well, why study all this Bhagavad Gita? This 18 chapter is a whole waste of time. All you have to study is that 66th verse, 1866. And once you have, and all these things is spoken in advance so that when finally Krishna drops that bomb in front of you, Sarvadharman Bharatitya, you don't get completely shaken by that. So it's all leading into that verse, quietly bringing it up. In a very subtle level, Krishna is telling us that verse is not that simple as you thought about that. When Sarvadharman Paritejya Mamegam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarvabhyo Mokshayishyami Mashucha, it is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. No question about that. But to come to that, there is a long journey before that. And this is that journey. And this is coming to end of that journey. You can see that already coming out in a very nice way. Krishna is putting it in front of us. So, there, Krishna says, ashrayam. Ashrayam means shelter. That means in that situation, mal prasadam. Prasadam will be there. Krishna says he will take care of it. And not only that, Krishna says that this is not the prasadam what we are taking. That you have to remember. This prasadam is Krishna's grace, kripa, kripa here. Kripa is that prasadam. Kripa is the right word, isn't it? Or grace is, I think, is the English word. Grace or mercy sometimes. You can say whichever you like it. I don't know what the difference is. But kripa or mercy, both more or less reflects the same word, kripa. So, Krishna is saying here, this kripa or grace means that in that, when Krishna's kripa comes, or Krishna's grace comes, remember so many things we spoke before, chitta shuddhi, prasannata. Chitta shuddhi means that purity inside. Remember, chitta shuddhi we talked about. When did we say that chitta shuddhi? When we spoke about that buddhi. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto. That is chitta shuddhi, Krishna is talking about. And we spoke about that before also, when talking about karma. Many times we have spoken about karma. At that time also, chitta shuddhi was spoken there. Where it leads to? Chitta shuddhi. Karma leads to chitta shuddhi, Krishna says. Chitta shuddhi means the purification inside. And for that purpose, Krishna says that the varnashrama dharma was spoken. So anyway, you can look back and you will see there many places how chitta shuddhi has to happen. So Krishna is saying here that Krishna's grace comes, this chitta shuddhi, what Krishna was talking about, will happen straight away. Similarly, that meditation, remember Krishna was talking about earlier? Dhyana yoga paro nityam. Remember, few verses ago? That dhyanam also will happen automatically. You don't have to work for it. When this kripa comes, Krishna's grace comes, isn't it? And mal prasadal para avapnodi shashwadam padam avyayam. That shashwada padam. And that means that final destination from which you will never fall again. That stage will come to us. And that is the important state, Krishna says there. That stage, what has happened to you at that time. That you have reached that situation, that you will not fall again from that. You will not fall again that. So from this chapter, a very, very primary analysis, if you look at it, whatever Krishna has spoken in the fourth chapter, is there any difference now? When we started the fourth chapter, Krishna told us that jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam, he said. Again the same thing is coming back. Krishna is saying, jnanam, karmam, bhakti, three processes. In the Bhagavatam also it is like that, is it not? Nyasinam iha karmasu. Based on our situation, according to our vairagyam, renunciation, detachment, either of the three processes is okay. Jnanam, karmam, bhakti. Now, Krishna spoke about jnana yogam in detail in this chapter. Krishna also spoke about karma yogam. And Krishna joined those two things together, karmam and jnanam. Is it not? Began with karmam and then finished with jnanam. In this chapter, I'm saying. That is how that flow of in the Bhagavad Gita. And after saying all that, Krishna understood that there is this group who cannot follow this or that, the other. And for them, also they require some shelter somewhere. And therefore, this bhakti process was spoken. So, jnanam, karmam, bhakti. All the three are there in this chapter also. Although we say, because this is a conclusion, isn't it? Like we say, first six is karmam, then six is bhakti, then six is jnanam. But when it concludes, you can again see Krishna brings them back and saying to us, if you follow the karmam process, Krishna has spoken again about it and summarized it. Jnanam process, again Krishna spoke and summarized it. Bhakti, there is not much to summarize. You notice that? There's nothing much to say about bhakti. There is only one thing to talk about bhakti. What is that? Surrender. Surrender is the only thing in the bhakti. Your sadhana has no value there. But unfortunately, people thinking that their sadhana is going to make it happen. No. Sadhana, you can do whole life sadhana. But if that ahankaram has not gone away, your sadhana is of no use at the end. You can't go back and say to Krishna, Krishna, I have chanted. You know how many rounds I have chanted? I have chanted 192 rounds for the last 40 years. And why have you sent me to hell? What will you answer? Krishna won't even answer that question. Because if the surrender is not there, there is no such thing called bhakti. Bhakti, whole success of bhakti is on surrender. The key to bhakti is surrender. Key to bhakti is surrender. And that is why Krishna was able to put the whole bhakti process into one verse. He was able to say this. Sarva karmani abhisada kurvano madhyabhashrayaha malprasada adhavapnodi shashvadam padam avyayam shashvadam. If you have surrendered, Krishna says, I am not bothered what you are doing in this world. You can come back. That is what actually amazed Sukadeva Goswami. This one issue. That you can surrender like this and you can go back to Krishna. That is what actually shocked Sukadeva Goswami. That is why he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. He spoke Bhagavatam. Remember that? When Pudana comes to Krishna and Pudana gave breastfed Krishna, it was not milk, it was poison. Krishna says, you go back. You know what Krishna, and everyone was in shock. She didn't come as a mother, did she? She has come with the intention of killing Krishna. But the end result is, Krishna says, you also gave the same position as Mother Yashoda in the spiritual world. Same position as Mother Yashoda, who struggled hard for so many years to bring up Krishna. And the same position given to Pudana. People ask this question, how can you justify this? That is when that verse Uddhava said, Aho begiyam stanakala kodam jigham saya paya yadapya sadvi lebhege dimdatri tujadam kutonyo kamvadayalum sharanam vrajema. It is that Pudana's approach to Krishna. Even though Pudana had come with evil intentions, with killing Krishna, but Krishna said, after all, she has come to me as a mother, is it not? Look at that, Krishna's gratitude to her. You have come to me as my mother. Go back to the spiritual world. Come back to me. Krishna says, Sukadeva Goswami is asking the question, can you see this kripa, grace, anywhere else in spiritual life? And that is what attracted Sukadeva Goswami to take Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand. You know, one of the famous verses in the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is a transcendentalist, but who is an absolute monist. Is it not? Advaiti he is. In the Bhagavatam it is there, very clearly. And we say, what attracted Sukadeva Goswami to Bhagavatam? This grace of Krishna, kripa. So kripa is there, nobody can deny that. Sukadeva Goswami did not go through this process by surrender. His process is the other one, that he was able to, that proper meditation and all the jnanam, knowledge and everything, realization and his education through Vedavyas and many other great sages, there's a different route altogether. Because you can see, if you look into Sukadeva Goswami's life, Sukadeva Goswami was educated by Vedavyas. Janaka, King Janaka has instructed him. Ashtavakra has instructed him. That means he has followed that process of Jnanamargam. That is how he realized. But when he found out that all that struggle he went through the Jnanamargam, and when he saw this Krishna's grace flowing freely like this towards Pudana, Sukadeva Goswami is asking the question, Kamva dayalim sharanam vrajema. Where will I see this anywhere else? This grace flowing so freely like to Putana even from Krishna. And that is why he took Srimad Bhagavatam on board. Seeing this, that is what inspired him to take Srimad Bhagavatam. Nothing else. This seeing this grace of Krishna flowing so freely. So Krishna is asking us also the same question. Would you not surrender to Krishna when it is coming like this? In fact, it is the easiest process. There is no question about that. Although it is difficult for the ahankara. And that is what you will see in the next verse. Let's look at that.
Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya malparam buddhi yogam upashritya machitta sadadam bhava chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya malparam buddhi yogam upashritya machitta sadadam bhava.
That's it. Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya malpara buddhi yoga mupashritya machitta sadadam bhava. Krishna says, let's look at the translation. Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya malpara buddhi yoga mupashritya machitta sadadam bhava. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Basically, the only one thing Krishna is saying that Chetasa sarva karmani, surrender is key. Surrender is the key. Even in the last verse you can see, though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Grace, that's a kripa. And it is a continuation of that kripa is spoken in this verse also, which we will discuss next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.